Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, tell me, sister.
Welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown. My goodness gracious. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. Yes, you do. You need to get to me. My goodness gracious, we have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. A lot of people live in the land of denial. It's a happy place for them. They like to stay there. They like to be there. That's their choice. And what is fascinating about the people who choose to live in the land of denial is sometimes they are the most vociferous. They are the most adamant. They are the most passionate people about what is going on in the world. They speak. I don't know. Maybe it's part of getting your passport to the land of denial, that you speak with such certainty about things that you know nothing about. Now, there are residents of the land of denial that get there because, maybe the mayor of, the governor of, the president of the land of denial. They are clear. They speak with certainty about things that they know not. Now, there are some residents of the land of denial that they speak with certainty about things because of what they see on television. They are convinced that television is a magic box that would never lie to them. They're convinced that the television is the place from which most truth comes. And particularly when the television reinforces things that they believe. Television is a good god to the people that live in the land of denial. It's a good god. It is a trustworthy god. So today, this morning, I speak to those of you that live in the land of denial, and those of you that visit the land or vacation in the land of denial. I'm here to tell you that I'm here to provide you with some information. And for those of you that have relatives that stay in denial, you might want to pass this along to them. There's a reason why some of you think the way that you do, because it's because of what television brings you. And I want to show you how television, I want to break it down for you. I want you to understand why television is not a good god. How television lies to you and manipulates you. Just a couple of days. Just a couple of days on CNN. Remember when CNN used to, at least try to give the news? Now they're Fox Light. CNN on the Situation Room. There was a discussion about Coretta Scott King's funeral. And the discussion revolved around words spoken by Reverend Joseph Lowry's address at the funeral of Coretta Scott King. Lowry said, and they broadcast on the Situation Room with Wolf Blitzes the Truth, there were discussions about the comments made by Reverend Lowry. And what Reverend Lowry said at the funeral of Coretta Scott King, he said this: "We know now that there were no weapons of mass destruction over there, but Coretta knew, and we knew that there are weapons of misdirection right down here." Now, here's where TV is a bad god and a god not to be trusted. Wolf Blitzes the Truth, Wolf Blitzer, asked his panelists, a Democratic sellout Paul Beglia and former Bush administration official Victoria Clark, whether they thought that Lowry's remarks were appropriate. CNN played the clip of Lowry, but they cropped 18 seconds of the applause, because when Lowry said, "We know now there were no weapons of mass destruction," there was a standing ovation and 23 seconds of clapping. 23 seconds. That's a long time. 23 seconds where people stood on their feet after Lowry said, "We know that there were no weapons of mass destruction over there." At the funeral of Coretta Scott King, they stood for 23 seconds, saying, amen, hallelujah, you doggone Skippy, you show you're right. Show you're right. CNN clipped, cropped, edited, took out 3/4 of the time. And they didn't, and they had to splice it to make it like that. Because there was, because they played the two sentences. One sentence by Reverend Lauer. We know now that there were no weapons of mass destruction. 23 seconds worth of standing ovation. Then the next line, but Coretta knew, and we know that there are no weapons. We know that there are weapons of misdirection right down here. So in order to play the second line, they had to crop out, leave out, take out, the standing ovation, and then they had the nerve to ask the question, do you think it was appropriate when 23 seconds people were standing up and applauding and saying, yeah, doggone Skippy, it's appropriate to talk that at this funeral? And oh, did I forget to tell you, George Bush was in the audience. How'd that taste? How'd you like that? How'd that feel? 23 seconds. So the CNN cropped it all out, didn't tell their viewers anything about it. Viewers who were watching Lowry's remarks for the first time would not have known that they drew a standing ovation. And that 23 seconds prevented from Lowry from continuing his eulogy at Coretta Scott's funeral. Ain't that some stuff? So those of you that live happily, that live contentedly, that live, what's the word I'm looking for, blissfully in the land of denial. And the fact of the matter is that you're fools because they lie to you and you believe them. They lie to you and you let them. They lie to you. And here is an example that's not 72 hours old. Of how they lie to you and manipulate you. If you're going to have an honest discussion, no, if you're going to have a discussion, period, I don't even need to throw the word honest in there. If you're going to have a discussion as a news team, as a news station, and you're going to ask people to comment on a comment that is made, how dare you crop it up, chop it up, to make it into a lie. Do you think this was appropriate? Huh. Let's talk about the funeral yesterday. The Reverend Joseph Lowry was among those eulogizing Coretta Scott King. Among the things he said this. I don't know if it was a direct reference to the President of the United States who was there, but was it appropriate? What you stupid? Yeah, he was talking smack to the face of George W. Bush. Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was. How dare you? How dare you? How dare you lie about what happened at a funeral? What kind of low-down person do you have to be to lie about what happened at a funeral? That's some low-down stuff. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. You want to email me? I'm just a click away at revolution@lizbrown.com. Did you know we're streamed? That's a fact, Jack. We streamed at WGNU.net. Oh, my goodness gracious. And if you've missed an hour, shame on you. But go get it. At whiterosesociety.org. Go get it. Go get it. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes, Liz. Now we're told on the news that Scooter Libby has told the special prosecutor that superiors authorized him to release the secret news on Valerie Plame. Of course, those two superiors could only be Bush and or Cheney. And Brown is scheduled to appear before Congress today, the disgraced ex-head of the FEMA. He's saying that unless the White House forbids it, he's going to lay on the line who said what to when, who gave him orders to do what, and that he was only following orders he was given. The impeachable offenses just keep coming, Liz.
All right. Thank you. 454-0400 is my phone number. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes. I would like to make a comment about the funeral.
The funeral of Coretta Scott King.
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know when they former President Carter made the comments about the illegal wiretapping, and a lot of the talking heads were saying that, well, it was done under the Kennedy administration.
Mm-hmm.
But they also have to understand not only was it done to Dr. King and his wife, but it also extended the whole counterintelligence program was done to all black organizations and activists and anti-war movement people from Kennedy to Johnson all the way up to Nixon. So it wasn't just King who was also harassed by those illegal wiretapping. It was the whole civil rights movement as a whole and all of the anti-war activists who were also under those illegal wiretappings. And
we have the director of the Quakers organization, the American Friends Service Committee, and Quakers were wiretapped too during that time, and they're just now getting their records, and the records that they've gotten from the FBI, everything is blacked out. They can't see anything, and they just now got them.
And one more thing. What do you think about this little program that comes on TV Land called That's What I'm Talking About? Have you had a chance to view that?
I have not.
Okay. I think it's pretty good, honestly.
All right. I'll try to check it out.
Thank you, sister.
All right. 454-0400 is my phone number. Lee, good morning.
Yes. How you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
I wanted to ask you a question in reference to Ms. King's funeral.
Yes, sir.
Please tell me, who in the world gave Bush the okay to speak at a funeral?
I don't know. I've looked at the program. The program for Coretta Scott King's funeral was almost 30 pages long. And what was interesting is that there was a sponsorship page at the end of it. There were a lot of corporations that sponsored putting together this funeral. And there were people on the committees. There was a committee of people, probably about 40 people, that helped put this thing together. I don't know who allowed that to happen. I don't know.
I just thought it was such a slap. It symbolized. It's almost like if I killed someone and then I was to show up at their funeral. Bush stands for everything opposite. Everything that she stood for, everything that her husband stood for, is totally different. Totally opposite on the other side of the aisle than Bush.
Yeah.
I was so appalled when I was watching it and Bush spoke.
And that he spoke.
I was like, oh, yeah. What cowardly person gave him the okay to speak? Mm. It was bad enough that he was there.
Yeah.
Of course he would be there. But to speak, you have got to be kidding.
It was hard. That was hard. I can't, you know what? I wish I knew. I wish I knew.
Enjoy your show. Thank you very much.
And you know what? I'm going to ask my black journalist that's going to be joining me on Looking Black, Lynn Washington. I'm going to ask him if he knows. Because I would really like to know the answer to that.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
454-0400 is my phone number. We're going to take a break, folks. I'm Liz Brown. You need to get to me. My number is 1-877-920. Oh, I love this song. I just love this song. Watching Martin Luther King. Had a dream. I'm Liz Brown. I'll be back.
So take this dream and apply it to your life. Even though we know the ghetto's rough, but we got to keep your head up.
I'll keep your head up.
Physical death will come. And love to the sun,
to the sun,
even when the darkness shall come.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Moulton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the St. Louis Boat Show. Northbound 55 at Imperial Main and Union, no problems to report. Eastbound 44 from 109 all the way into Guyer looks good. Eastbound 40 from Chesterfield Airport to 141. Expect normal traffic this hour. Northbound 270 from Gravelway to Marshall looks good. Westbound 270 from Chain of Rocks Bridge all the way in New Halls Ferry, nothing to report at this hour. Westbound 5570 split at 64 in the PSB. Look for slight delays. Westbound 64 at the 15th Street exit all the way into the Poplar Street Bridge looks good. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from 5570 split into Laclede's Landing. Nothing to report there. Northbound Route 3 from Monsanto onto the approaches of the Poplar Street Bridge. You can expect normal traffic. And there's a medical emergency at southbound Bowles near 141, so use caution if you're rolling up to that area. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the St. Louis Boat Show. Visit the St. Louis Boat and Sports Show February 7th through the 12th at America Center. See what's new in boating for 2006. Details at stlouisboatshow.com. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. Mostly cloudy today, a high in the upper 30s. This evening, mostly cloudy with scattered flurries and a low in the mid-20s. Moving on to Saturday, mostly cloudy, flurries, high in the lower 30s. Saturday evening, mostly cloudy till early morning, then becoming partly cloudy with scattered flurries and a low around 15. Then on Sunday, partly sunny with a high in the mid-30s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have some clouds and 29 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 28. Wind chill outside still makes it feel like it's 22. So bundle up if you're going outside. That's a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Stay tuned. We'll have more news, traffic, and weather at the top of the 7 o'clock hour. Up next, more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Moulton. We'll take a look at more news, weather, and traffic in the 7 o'clock hour.
Science or religion? Republican or Democrat? Politics, education, crime? Or you just want to talk about Girl Scout cookies? What's your opinion? What's your solution? Tell me, Dave Linehan on Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU, Monday through Friday, 4 to 6.
School, church, civic, and other nonprofit organizations often have tight budgets. At WGNU, we understand that and remind you that we can help. If you know of a nonprofit group that would like WGNU to help promote events and ongoing programs free of charge, just send a fax with all the information to our public service department at area code 314-454-6609. Requests must be submitted 2 weeks in advance of any event. WGNU Radio reserves the right to edit or reject any submission because of time constraints and objectionable or commercial content.
Radio is a very effective means of communication. Right now, thousands of people are hearing this message. Those same people could be hearing your message on WGNU right now. And each person who hears your ad is a potential customer. Is your business really strong enough that it can afford to pass up that many potential clients? To find out how affordable advertising on WGNU can help your business, call sales manager Brian Kay during regular business hours at 314-454-6609. 6660.
Join the members of the 7th Police District Community Partnership for lunch as we honor the outstanding efforts of some of St. Louis' finest, the police officers of the 7th District. Blueberry Hill owner Joe Edwards will be the featured speaker, with KEZK's Ed Goodman as the MC.
This is Captain Jim Moran of the 7th District. Show your support by having lunch with us at the pageant on Wednesday, February 22nd at noon.
A limited number of tickets are still available for this event. Don't miss out. For more information or to purchase tickets, call Officer Kim at 444-0047, 314-444-0047. This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Number, baby. This is Liz Brown. My number. Here's my number. My number is 1-877-920-WG, and you call me. Call me. Or 454-0400 is my phone number. I'm one of those women. I have a couple of numbers. 454-0400 is my phone number. 1-877-920-WGNU. Let me get to you, Steve.
Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, you watch a lot of these news programs, and Fox is one of the leaders of the pack. And you're going to find out for weeks and months on end about what Michael Jackson's doing in California, a missing girl on an island somewhere far away. Now it's about a guy who kills somebody and goes over to England. You know, you're going to hear about that for weeks. What you got to do is watch these news crawls. And in relation to Bush's speech yesterday, I asked, well, what's the meaning of this speech? Well, you watch these news crawls, and like the Roosevelt man alluded to a while ago, you hear about Scooter Libby and how he was operating under directives from his superiors.
That's relegated to a news crawl.
Yes, it is. And another thing, too, which I think is even bigger than that, is Jack Abramoff.
Mm.
You know, now, Jack Abramoff admitted to meeting with President Bush over a dozen times.
Mm-hmm.
Was even invited to the ranch down in Crawford, Texas.
Did you know that Karl Rove has known Abramoff for 20 years?
And Bush says he didn't even know the man.
Karl Rove has known Jack Abramoff for 20 years. What do you think, whether George Bush has met him?
Let's release these photographs, emails, whatever it is.
Mm.
I mean, enough is enough of these people. Very much.
All right, thank you. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Madison.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
Listen, I wanted to see and just remind me, when you had the guest on that was talking about the 9/11 conspiracy part.
Yes.
Did he have a website, by any chance?
Yes, he did. And the website is on, I have a archive at my website.
Okay, good.
Archive,
okay.
So you can go into my archives and find him, and there are some links attached to him.
Okay, because you know what I found most interesting? And it's a very simple thing that was out of your interview, but how he said that the debris came out as powder.
Mm-hmm.
How it's powder.
Mm-hmm.
And after thinking about what he said, it made sense, because if those planes flew at the top of that building, and I'm no engineer, please
mm-hmm.
don't think I am, but wouldn't that be a fire that would take time to burn?
Well, and according to the experts, they're saying that the fuel fire doesn't last that long. It's a quick fire. It's a quick fire.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's interesting. I think that was a very good show you had, and I would love to hear that again.
Okay.
I get so sick of Bush using this fear tactic.
Can I ask you something? Because I've been cussing all morning when I heard this story,
mm-hmm.
that now Bush is coming out and saying, well, they were going to attack some towers in San Francisco. You a lie.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
You a lie. No, but you a lie.
Mm-hmm.
Because if that really had happened, because now because everybody is on him about spying on Americans,
mm-hmm.
He comes up with this, well, we stopped them from attacking a building in San Francisco. You a lie, because if that had happened, you would have worked it. You would have.
Yeah.
We would have known about it, and you would have worked us into some more fear. You're lying. You're a liar.
You know what's so sad about some of these crazy people? They're like, oh, it's so good we found out. We know, shame on him. If this was the case, then we should have known this a long time ago.
And he's lying now. He's
mm-hmm.
lying now. Thanks for your
Thank
call,
you.
Madison.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
454-0400 is my phone number. Tony.
Yeah, good morning. How you doing this morning?
I'm outstanding.
Yeah, you know, talking about Coretta Scott King's funeral. Bush mayor just invited himself. With his pedal for self, you know?
But somebody had to allow him to
yeah,
speak.
Yeah, yeah, right. I was just kind of like tongue in cheek with that.
Yeah.
You know, when you were talking with the guy about that, I thought about, you know, there's a book in the Bible called Job, and it said that the day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, it says Satan also was among them. You know, so maybe this is place in time and history.
Did Satan speak?
He did, because God asked him where he'd been. He said, I'm going to and fro on the earth, but I guess looking for things to destroy.
Thanks for your call.
All right, Liz.
454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning. Albert.
Yes, ma'am.
Good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Two things. I am in engineering, and yeah, those buildings shouldn't have failed like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one. Number two is I did see Loretta Scott King's funeral. And Reverend Lowry did get up and say those things, and Bush wasn't in the audience.
Oh, he wasn't.
He was right behind him.
He was.
And I'm guilty because when he started cracking on him, I started kind of drawing up a little bit. Cause I'm like, whoa, does he realize Bush is right behind him? But that's what we need now, Liz.
Mm-hmm.
We
mm-hmm.
need people
speak truth
that's gonna
to
speak up to the truth and
speak truth
get
to
all
power.
This appropriate stuff. We are beyond appropriate.
Speak
as
truth.
I'm
speak truth to power. Period.
Yes, ma'am. And one more thing before I go. Yesterday I was trying to get in because they got on the high-speed chase, and then they stopped taking calls about the high-speed chase. And I'm sure that everybody listening to this radio station throughout the day is listening to you right now so, because that's what leads the station to me.
All right.
And they wanted to say that, why is everybody taking the side of the criminal? And what they need to realize is that what these police did, we had all criminals on this scene, if the guy is a criminal, because he hasn't been charged yet. So right now, from what we see, we only have four criminals.
There you go.
And they're police officers. So, I mean, and they are really trying to twist this story. They're really trying to tell us what we didn't see.
That's fact.
It's crazy.
It's like an abusive husband that said, okay, I'll stop beating you if you get your face out my fist.
You
okay?
know, it's ridiculous. I mean, I'm sitting here watching this stuff, and I know I'm not a intelligent politically person and all these things, but God, you have to be stupid with a crutch, blind in one eye, and without ears in order not to see all that.
Thanks for your call.
Thanks, Liz.
454-0400 is my phone number. You're on the wake up call. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Brown. How are you today?
I'm outstanding. How are you, Dr. Brown?
Oh, I'm blessed. I have two issues, actually, just out of fun. Now, I wonder who's going to get the flag for the wiretapping of Wayne Gretzky. They talked about that on the news this morning. That they had wiretaps when they heard him talking about the gambling situation. Second thing, the other day on Channel 5 News, there were two officers, a Caucasian one and an African-American one. They were both retired, and I don't remember what police force they were with. But at any rate, the Caucasian officer said that the Supreme Court supports any efforts to subdue criminals at whatever level you have to subdue them at. Had you ever heard that?
I don't think that he could spell Supreme Court.
Yeah, he got on TV.
Oh yeah, he's some constitution. He can't even spell Supreme Court.
Yeah, he says the Supreme Court.
Yeah, whatever.
Legislated that
yeah.
they can do that, take whatever level
to
seduce somebody.
Then they've got nothing to worry about, do they? Then
right.
then he has nothing. Then say they beat him. Then say
right.
they beat him. If they know that they've got a free, if the law says they have a free pass to do that, then say, yeah, we kicked him. Yeah, he was down. We're allowed to kick him. We're allowed to spit on him. We're allowed to do anything we want to. Say that.
Right.
Say
and
it.
One other question, Ms. Brown. There's an officer that is on the radio, And I noticed that sometimes on certain stations, when people say things wrong or say whatever they want to say, that they can get taken off the air. What can we do to get this gentleman off the air? He's a police officer, and he says some stuff that's just, he makes you scared to run into him out on the street.
Oh, are you talking about on this station?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, well, any complaints that you have, any concerns that you have about anybody that you hear on the air, you need to take it to management. Okay?
Yeah, because he needs to come off. You need to be out the police thing. Thank you.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. We're going to take a break, folks. This is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get to me. We have much, 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 much to talk about. Ooh. Stay with me.
Gee, baby, ain't I good to you? There's nothing too good for a boy, that's so true. Gee, baby, ain't I good to you?
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Sydney. The government of Australia is attempting to push through legislation that will raise the amount of money that can be donated to political causes from $1,500 to $10,000 without having to be made public. There are three other provisions in this same legislation that are raising public concerns. Voter rolls will be frozen on the day an election is called. This is not the same as the election day itself. This has the potential to disenfranchise hundreds of thousands of voters who have not updated their addresses because of job changes or living accommodations. A photo ID will be required at the polling place, something that's tough to obtain in Australia if you don't drive or travel overseas. And all prisoners will be denied the right to vote. Whether this extends to people who have served their time and have been released is unclear at this point. These efforts are supposed to limit the amount of outside influence that forces can exercise on the political process, which mirrors the same type of big-dollar lobbying that takes place in America, except on a smaller monetary scale. And Dateline Washington. Some emails written by Jack Abramoff to an associate depict a definite link to President Bush. Abramoff speaks of meeting the president in a dozen different settings and describes how he was invited to the Crawford Ranch for a fundraiser in 2003. Abramoff did not go because it fell on a Jewish holiday in August. One of the emails talked about how amazed Abramoff was with how good a memory Mr. Bush had. He said he was able to remember a number of things discussed at many of their earlier meetings. The emails were sent to Kim Elsler, national editor of the Washingtonian magazine, which recently reported on the existence of a number of pictures that captured the president and Abramoff together. The White House has been minimizing any relationship between the two men. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Tune in 2 to 4 weekday afternoons on AM 920 WGNU. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA and let's go take on the day.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Where else are you going to get the best TVs, DVDs, washer, dryers, refrigerators, tools? Get your shop on at Sears right here in your neighborhood. You don't have to drive all over everywhere to get to a Sears. Come on to the community and shop at the only full service, everything you need to have Sears right there at Union and Natural Bridge. Sears, Jerome Williams, black owned and operated. Get your shop on and tell them I told you to.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Boom, clack, boom, clack. I want a rimshot, hey. Diggy, diggy, a rimshot, hey. Come on, a rimshot, hey. Diggy, diggy, a rimshot, hey. Come
I said I need to hear the
rimshot, hey. Diggy, diggy, a rimshot, hey.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. Oh, my goodness. We have so much stuff to talk about. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. And my email is revolution@lizbrown.com. Get up, get up, get up, get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Well, good morning, Miss Brown. How are you this beautiful day?
Outstanding. How are you?
You know, when I look at the news, I kind of look at it like Larry curling Mo. After I look at it, I turn it off and forget it because news stations try to get ratings any way they can. And I heard somebody ask you, why didn't we know it? Well, when something happened in your state, I think the first two people should know is the mayor and the governor. They didn't know it either.
That's correct. That's correct.
They didn't even know.
And let me let people know what we're talking about.
We're living in a land of lies. And under this administration, you have an administration of nothing but lies.
All right, Matt.
And Ms. Brown,
yes,
another thing about this news media. And this accident that happened here in the city with the police officers. See, if you listen to the news media, they tell you he rammed several police cars. If you look at the clip, he didn't ram a police car. The police car rammed him. See, and it only was three. See, that's one thing I get with this several thing. It was only three police cars. But when you speak with a news reporter, it don't sound good. Just said two.
All
they
right.
Got to put that salvo in there.
Thanks for your call.
It's
Matt.
A better ring to it.
All right. Thanks
Thank
for
you.
Your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGN. And you get up, get to me. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, 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 ha. My goodness. There are so many, we're going to talk on, and we're going to talk in the 8 o'clock hour about Abram Hoff. I marvel at the tentacles of this man. I truly, truly marvel at the tentacles of this man. This man knew everybody, knew every Republican. This man, what's the name of that movie? Ooh, what's the name of that? What is the name of that movie? The Texas, what was it? The Texas Whorehouse, what's it called? The little something about the, Anyway, you know what movie I'm talking about. That's what it feels like is going on. That he was a madam to the biggest house of prostitution in the history of prostitution. Whew. Everybody was touched by, everybody in the Republican Party was touched by Jack Abramoff. Mm. Abramoff was an early backer of George Bush. He was listed as co-chairman, pledged to raise $25,000 for Bush at a 1999 Washington reception. He gave the money to the president's recount committee in 2000. He was in the elite tier of fundraisers for the 2004 reelection committee. An Abramoff aide, Susan Ralston, later went to work as Karl Rove's executive assistant in the White House. Come on. These people, yeah, that's what it was. The best little whorehouse in Texas. The best little whorehouse in Washington. You know, Jack Abramoff is the madam. You know, man. Abramoff bragged of, Abramoff, he's a good madam. He bragged of his contact with Karl Rove. When Tyco International sought action on tax legislation in 2002, Karl Rove has been a client of Abramoff's for 20 years.
20 years. Both of them are former top officials of the College of Republicans, many of whom whose alumni have gone on to national prominence in the White House. A White House spokesman, a White House spokesman says that Karl Rove doesn't remember talking to Abramoff. Oh man. It is it best little whorehouse in Washington. Oh my goodness. 454-0400 is my phone number. 45. We're gonna be talking about that some more in the 8 o'clock hour. 454-0400 is my phone number. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Let me talk about New Orleans for a second here. When Louisiana Governor Kathleen Blanco told a special legislative session on Monday night, it's time to play hardball, as I believe it's the only game that Washington understands. And they say that she's finally speaking out of frustration. I guess it took 6 months to get you fully frustrated. It took you 6 months. Ray Nagin has also been wrestling with ways to break the bureaucratic logger jams. He met with officials, as I reported to you, from foreign countries, including France and Jordan, looking for help. The international community, it may be able to fill in the gap from our country. Ain't that some stuff? Blanco is the governor, is threatening to block federal sales of leases for oil and gas off of the Louisiana coast. And she's pleading to foreign nations because they say that they need more money to rebuild New Orleans. They are appealing to the federal government and also the minister. Also, they're trying to minister to their constituents. New Orleans are angry that Bush didn't devote more of his State of the Union speech to the city. He's like, I don't see them. Shoot, I'm not going to bring up any bad news. The Women of the Storm, a group of 140 concerned citizens, flew to Washington recently to try to get Congress to pay attention to the tragic lives and landscape of the Gulf Coast region. Blanco wants Washington powers to tour the devastation. Ain't that something? She's trying to get them to come look at it. We live in the United States of America, and we have elected officials that love camera time more than they love their mama. You would think that all of them would be down in New Orleans mugging for cameras left and right. They can't get people to come. It is easier to get an elected official to get a photograph taken at a Baghdad hotel than it is to get them down to New Orleans. It's a few hundred miles away. Ain't that some stuff? They can't get them down there even to take some pictures. Ooh, don't forget, it's Valentine's. Whoops, nope. Well, I'll talk to you about that in the next hour. We'll talk about what you need to do for Valentine's Day. And in the next hour, we're going to be talking to Lynn Washington, a columnist with the Philadelphia Tribune. Looking Black, it's time for Looking Black. Don't want to miss it. Stay with me, folks.
Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made.
You stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches. There's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below, that's the low knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
The latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. Neil Entwistle is coming back to the U.S. and he could stand trial in a high-profile double murder. Neil Entwistle has agreed to go back to the U.S. of his own free will. Entwistle, 27, fled to his native U.K., Massachusetts prosecutors say, after killing his American wife Rachel and baby daughter Lillian in their Massachusetts home. It's believed he'd been planning to kill his family and then turn the gun on himself but failed to follow through. Neil Entwistle's family are said to be shocked by his having been charged with the murders. Bags of potential evidence were taken from their home where Neil had been staying with them. Entwistle was arrested on Thursday. He could return to the U.S. as early as today. Linda Alban, ABC News, London.
It's just a few hours until the opening ceremonies in the 2006 Winter Olympics, but there is a big defeat for the U.S. even before the medal count begins.
U.S. athletes are expected to do well in events here, but the 20th Winter Olympics begin with diminished American influence on the games themselves. The country's only member of the International Olympic Committee Executive Board lost his seat to a South African. And earlier this week, what are thought of as two American sports, baseball and softball, were kept out of Summer Olympic competition.
ABC's Aaron Katursky in Torino, Italy. Russ Feingold is not happy with some fellow Senate Democrats. They're supporting changes to the Patriot Act, which will make it more, and say they'll vote to make it permanent. The Wisconsin senator says he plans to fight it. The mayor of Los Angeles says it would have been nice to get a phone call from the White House before President Bush told the nation that the feds prevented an attack on a skyscraper in his city. Antonio Villaraigosa says he found out when the rest of us did.
This only proves what I, along with other big city mayors, have stressed, and that is that all federal Homeland Security funding should be threat-based, and that local governments like Los Angeles and our first responders are on the front lines and need additional resources from the federal government.
Villaraigosa says he didn't need to hear from the president himself, just someone in the administration. This is ABC News.
Martin, what's with the long blonde wig and the sword?
I am not Martin. I am Manuelo, the Spanish knight, and you are my chambermaid.
Have you been drinking?
I shiver with longing to bathe in your warmth. That's why I come bearing this gift.
A diamond right-hand ring for Valentine's Day?
Yes, my smoldering little maid. It was made for you.
Oh, Manuelo.
Anyone can be a romantic hero this Valentine's Day. Give her a diamond right-hand ring that shows you know who she really is. Go to adiamondisforever.com/valentine and find the perfect style for her.
Want to get to the next level of your career? Earn a bachelor's or master's degree at University of Phoenix. It's education designed for busy working adults. In most cases, you can earn your degree in 2 to 3 years. At over 170 campuses, they offer programs in business, technology, nursing, education, and more. Call University of Phoenix at 1-800-853-4433. Offer not valid in Tennessee. Programs vary by campus. That's 1-800-853-4433.
The great one is under great security. ABC's Jim Hickey says an alleged sports betting scandal is dogging NHL legend Wayne Gretzky, whether he had anything to do with it or not.
He goes in, shooting, he scores!
It was a rough night for the Phoenix Coyotes, defeated by the Dallas Stars 5-1. A rough night for coach Wayne Gretzky, too, who continues to say he has done nothing wrong.
Nothing that has to do with any sort of on the lines of betting. That's just never happened.
But published reports say he was overheard on a wiretap talking to his assistant coach, Rick Tocchet, about how Gretzky's wife could avoid being implicated. She is alleged to have placed bets with the gambling ring. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
Got milk? So what? A new study finds that increasing your intake of calcium and vitamin D may be healthy, but it may not lower your risk of bone fractures or colorectal cancer, as some previous research had indicated. I'm Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Hanford Bryant-Meyer with your WGNU News Update for the 7 o'clock hour.
In the news this Friday, a suspect faces charges after striking two people at a bus stop, critically injuring one of them. Police say 22-year-old Hassan Abernathy was trying to escape arrest when he struck the pedestrians near Natural Bridge in Goodfellow. Abernathy is charged with two counts of second-degree assault and one drug charge. One of the victims, a 28-year-old woman, remains hospitalized in critical condition. The other, a 50-year-old man, was treated and released. A St. Charles County educator will come out of retirement to head the Wentzville School District. The Wentzville School Board chose Dr. Ed Cantor last night to become the district's interim superintendent. Cantor retired in 2003 as the superintendent of the Orchard Farm School District, and had also served as an assistant superintendent in the Fort Zumwalt Schools. Cantor takes the place of Dr. Thomas Byrnes, who is on leave after being charged with stalking a district employee and offering to pay her for sex. The Missouri Citizens for Property Rights expect to begin collecting signatures in the next few weeks to get two constitutional amendments on the November ballot. The group's chairman, Ron Calzone, says they can't begin the process until the state auditor approves the petition surrounding issues of property rights. He says he expects that to happen soon. Calzone says there are problems in Article 1 and 6 of the state constitution, which allows politicians and developers to take advantage of loopholes. He says the proposed amendments seek to close those loopholes. Finally, this hour, Valentine's Day isn't just for lovers anymore. That's according to Hallmark expert Lori Edmonds, who says research shows that this holiday has expanded beyond romantic love.
We have seen in the last couple of years that actually mothers are the largest recipient of our cards and our gifts, followed by spouses and significant others. You know, we just think that Valentine's Day is a great time this year to be able to show anybody that you care about, that you love, how much they mean to them.
40% of Valentine's Day gifts are purchased by women for other women, such as mothers, sisters, and friends. You can go online for more Valentine's Day tips at www.hallmark.com. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Helzberg Diamonds. Only 4 days until Valentine's Day, win her heart with one of over 500 gifts under $100 from Helzberg Diamonds. Shop online or find the nearest store at Helzberg.com. Helzberg Diamonds, moments that sparkle. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Southbound 55 and 44 is an accident on right shoulder, reportedly involving three vehicles. Use caution as you roll up there. Northbound 55 between Richardson and Bayless, no problems there. Eastbound 44 from 141 all the way into 270 looks good. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Spady looks for normal traffic. Northbound 270 from 44 to Marshall, slight delays there. Westbound 270 from the Canal Bridge to 367 looks good. Eastbound 70 at 79 look for slow traffic. Westbound 5570 split from 64 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Slight delays this hour so far. Westbound 64 between Bow Avenue and the PSB looks good. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Gravel Pit all the way in to Cleves Landing. Nothing to report this hour. Northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Everything is on the move. Gladys is California. Look for an incident involving a house explosion in Collinsville. We'll keep you up to date on that as it becomes available. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, tires are an important part of your vehicle through February. Purchase four tires from your St. Louis Metro Toyota dealer and receive three complimentary oil changes free. Toyota, moving you forward. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Mostly cloudy with a high in the upper 30s today. Mostly cloudy this evening. Flurries are possible with a low in the mid-20s. Moving on to Saturday, mostly cloudy. Scattered flurries with a high in the lower 30s Saturday evening. Mostly cloudy until early morning, then becoming partly cloudy with a low around 15 and a possibility of flurries. Then on Sunday, partly sunny with a high in the mid-30s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have cloudy conditions and 29 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting clouds and 28. The wind chill makes it feel like it's about 22 outside, so bundle up if you're going out to the bus stop or if you're on your way to work or school. That is a look at this hour's news, traffic, and weather. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. Up next, it's Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call, Looking Black. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Looking Black, a review of issues that have impacted your life this week and where they may take us next from differing perspectives. Here's Liz Brown and our guest journalists for this week.
Oh, welcome, welcome. Our number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. I'm just a click away at revolution@lizbrown.com. We have a whole lot of stuff to talk about. So let's get to it. Our guest this morning is Lynn Washington, columnist with the Philadelphia Tribune in Philly. Lynn, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
Okay, great.
Good. Can I ask you something? I want to talk about something.
Oh, okay.
This is on my mind. I know you have a lot of stuff to talk about, but I want to talk about this. Go get your impressions on this. Reverend Lowry, a eulogy at Coretta Scott King's funeral. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Reverend Lowry, during the funeral, made the comment that we now know that there were no weapons of mass destruction over there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, George Bush sitting in the audience. There was a standing 23-second ovation when he made that comment. And then he couldn't go on until the people stopped clapping. And then Lowry said, but Coretta knew, and we know now that there are weapons of misdirection right down here.
Mm-hmm.
And George
Bush, As in right behind him.
Right down here is what he said. And so there are commentators talking heads on television saying that this was not appropriate.
Well, one of the things at least with Dr. King and with his wife, they made no 9-to-5 distinction about the need to stand up to injustice. And we are so quick to forget that the FBI, through their illegal spying then, which, you know, laid the grounds for the illegal spying today, was in their bedroom. So I think it is very appropriate and needed for people to raise the issue that is being ignored. There was a lot of politicking at that wedding, at that funeral, and many people I've heard on, you know, talk radio in this area, you know, felt it inappropriate.
Inappropriate.
But if anybody had the right and the duty to say something, it was clearly someone like Reverend Lowry who earned it the old-fashioned way. He went out and worked it.
And I guess there are a lot of people that have called me and I don't know and asked me this question and I don't know the answer to it. How did George W. Bush get invited to speak at the funeral to begin with? Because his father was in the CIA at the time of the CIA or the FBI invading the bedroom of Coretta and Martin.
Right. Well, from what I understand, and I really haven't did any serious research on this, but from what I understand, a lot of those ex-presidents and everything, they put themselves on the agenda in that, you know, we're coming, would it be okay to speak? And, you know, how do you turn that down?
N-O.
Yeah. Well, I understand that, but it really puts them at a conundrum.
Yeah.
And, you know, typically the reactions are, you know, well, why would they say that at this particular point? People want to deal with propriety instead of principle in substance.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the larger sin or the larger offense to raise an issue in a particular forum, like a funeral, or is the larger offense that there is that offense in the first place?
Mm.
And we, you know, we deal with, I think, well, I just personally think that we as a nation, and that's a whole nation, we're not dividing the nation into black or white or brown or whatever, we deal with too much foolishness. You know, we have a lot of debate and rancor and rigmarole about the use of one word that begins with an N and ends with an R, and we all know what it is, but we can't say it. But we're more concerned about the use of that word instead of the practice what's behind that word. People are treated like nigs all day long, from police brutality to economic deprivation, and nobody cares. But if you mention that word, oh, we have to have a national debate. That's foolishness, in my opinion, but, you know, I'm just a little journalist, so.
Well, I guess I don't know. It's because, Lynn, it's just all of our issues are so intertwined.
Yeah.
I mean, the issue of the use of the N word is an issue about the history of this country.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to have these discussions along with other discussions, because I was just watching a clip from a high school where a teacher called an honor student, ROTC kid in his honor English class, said, "Go sit down, you in."
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the child wanted the teacher fired, and I believe the teacher should be fired. And and the teacher defended himself by saying that people use that word all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So. The discussion about it has to happen, and I agree that it shouldn't happen by itself, but I think that it shouldn't happen exclusively, but it's intertwined with everything else because it's still a symbol of racism.
We try to ignore so much, but those issues are there.
Mm-hmm.
What is obscene? Well, I was just online this morning, you know, trying to just catch up on some of the latest things that happened. Saw where there was this now controversy about the Army charging a soldier for body armor that was damaged, you know, in a roadside bomb that could have killed him. Now, we have all these people running around saying support the soldiers, but we have soldiers over there, and
mm-hmm.
without body armor. Then we have soldiers over there who shouldn't be there in the first place, and nobody wants to talk about this. And I saw where the Republicans were successful in the House of Representatives in quashing efforts to do investigations on all this torture that's going on in the different places. So you're right. All these issues are intertwined, and we have this collective desire to stick our heads in the sand and ignore what is really the erosion of a lot of what makes this country different and special, and keeping it where...
Lynn, it just doesn't seem like there's enough fight in people, that there is people don't want to throw down.
No.
Okay, there you are in the middle of a fight. Someone hits you, you better hit them back.
Mm-hmm.
And a perfect example in my mind is this discussion that of what happened between Barack Obama and the Republican. Now I can't think of his name. But did you hear about this controversy?
No.
There was a controversy between Senator McCain and Barack Obama. Barack Obama apparently had cozied up to Senator McCain, and Senator McCain had invited Barack Obama to be part of this we're going to reform ethics in Washington, D.C. on the Senate level. Mm-hmm. Barack Obama said yes, and the Democrats pulled the freshmen's coattails and said, no, we're the ones that are going to start this conversation. You need to be over here with us. So Barack Obama wrote McCain a letter saying that he was basically deselecting himself from this committee, but thank you very much, and he was going to do it over here. Well, McCain wrote him a letter back that basically, you know, talked about his mama. Called him a dishonest man. One of the lines in the letter was something to the effect of, it was my mistake to believe that you were any different than the other dishonest people that talk out of both sides of their mouths here in Washington. Now, this is a letter from one senator to another senator, right?
Right.
And so Barack Obama writes him a letter back after receiving that and says, well, I'm sorry that you feel that way. I still have great respect for you. He talked about your mom and you wrote him a letter saying that you still have respect for him.
They have that phony thing about civility.
But he wasn't civil to you.
Barack should have went up and smacked him in the face.
Yes, he should have.
He should have. There's a phrase about the particular type of slap that should have been instituted.
He should have taken him to, he's an attorney, he knows how to write, and he should have written him a letter back that made it very clear that I am bumping you back, I am slapping you down, you don't talk that way to me, nobody talks that way to me.
Right, and here, someone like McCain, who is sophisticated to arcane levels of talking out of both sides of his mouth and both, you know, a couple parts of his body at the same time, would even raise that. I mean,
and the issue becomes, why was John McCain so comfortable about breaking the code of decorum,
mm-hmm.
and writing this stuff about this senator? What do you think made him so comfortable?
Yeah,
the color of his skin.
The color of his skin, and they knew that they could get away with it.
That's fact. That's a fact. Color of his skin. I mean, he wouldn't have done that to a white freshman Democratic senator. He wouldn't have called him out like that in writing.
Mm-hmm.
So, those are my issues. What caught your eye, Lynn? What caught your eye?
Well, a multiplicity of things. I mean, I was shocked, but really not shocked, a few weeks ago when I saw what happened out in your area with the incident of police brutality.
Mm-hmm.
That is an ongoing issue. King spoke about it in his I Have a Dream speech. We got to remember that before he did those 15 lines in that speech about his dream for America, he talked about the reality of the American nightmare. That was two-thirds of what that speech was all about. And when they laud and applaud, you know, King or his wife or Rosa Parks, it's just divorced from the ongoing realities that we have. And, you know, you look at New Orleans, people can't get back into the city because there's no housing. There's no housing in the city a lot because what housing is available are occupied by construction workers who were brought back in, the people who need the housing are poor people who need the jobs. Why don't they have the jobs cleaning up their own city?
Mm-hmm.
And nobody's saying anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Ray Nagin misspoke. Now, Ray Nagin has done some things that he needs to be called the task for.
Mm-hmm.
But this thing about the chocolate city, what was the context of that? Well, from almost the day after the hurricane left and the floodwaters came in, there was talk about not rebuilding certain sections of the city, thus not letting certain people back in.
That's bad.
And that part of it is just totally left out.
Absolutely. And then he backed up off that, too.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, stick. You know, stand and stick.
But you talk about, you know, what am I looking at? I'm looking at a circus closer to home right here in Pennsylvania where the Republican Party is playing a big, giant race card.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the people always say it, we don't play the race card.
Mm-hmm.
With the almost all but sanctioned nomination of a former Steeler football player, Lynn Swann, to run for governor. On the Republican ticket. Here's a guy, no program, no experience, no background, and I think of some relevance, at least to people in our community, absolutely no track record or connection of doing anything in African-American communities of color or poor communities. I grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I moved down to Philadelphia when I went to college and, you know, was too broke to get back home and ended up staying down this way. But as soon as I heard last year of the candidacy or potential candidacy of Lynn Swann, I called some folks back home who I knew, and their response was, well, you know, Swann, yeah, the closest he gets to our communities is when he comes on TV as a sports commentator.
Mm. Mm.
The Republican Party in Pennsylvania, who controls both houses of the legislature, the state house, the lower body, has twice in the past 2 months enacted legislation that will strip voting rights from elderly African Americans and persons who are on probation and parole. They just take it away from them.
How?
Well, they're saying that the senior citizens now have to get special photo ID cards to vote. Yes. Yes, messing with the fundamental right of a democracy, the right to vote. And they're saying that people who are on probation and parole should be ineligible from voting until their term is up. So although you're out, say, on probation and parole, you're working, you're paying taxes, you're trying to be a responsible citizen, if you have one of these monster sentences like our people tend to get disproportionately, and your sentence is 30 years, but you're out in 5 and you still have 25 years of probation or parole to go, you can pay taxes during those times, or they'll stick you back in jail, but you won't be able to vote. And they're saying, no, it's about voter fraud. And you say, well, where's the evidence? Where is the evidence of fraud? Well, it's out there. Well, where is it? Well, nobody comes up with anything. So with a person like Swann, who has no political base, no political background, if he gets in, how is he going to govern?
He's an empty suit.
Right.
He's an empty suit.
He's going to be relying on the same people who have who have been firmly entrenched in being the enemies of advancement of people who were left out and people who don't have means. So it's just going to be an absolute mess, and invariably the real issues are going to get lost in all the hoopla and the hype of this former Steeler running against a governor Democratic governor, who's really not the best.
No, he's not. No, he's not. And this is the thing. I mean, there is the Democratic Party has a long history of just banking on that people of African descent are going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
They have a long history and people of African descent are forced to and feel forced to have to choose between the lesser of two evils. The bottom line is that you're still choosing evil.
Right.
And there has to be a different strategy by the black community. The black community should be saying to this Democratic, you know, governor that wants to be governor, you know what? I'm certainly not going to vote Republican. But I think I'll stand down on this one.
Right.
Because you all are not doing what you need to do. I'm going to stand down and let you all fight this out.
Yeah.
Let the white folks fight this out. Because, quite frankly, we don't have anything coming either way. The only thing that we have coming is that some incremental worseness.
Yeah.
You know? That's what we have coming.
It's dribbling down or bubble up. I mean, when you read the...
And Lynn, we have to take a break quick.
Sure.
So hold that thought. I'm talking to Lynn Washington, columnist with the Philadelphia Tribune. He's joining us from Philly. We'll be back because this is Looking Black. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with us.
St. Louis, 30 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and whether this hour's traffic is sponsored by St. Louis Boat Show. Northbound 55 at 3200 South Broadway. This incident has been cleared. Traffic is starting at East 5 this hour. Northbound 55 from Richardson Bayless. No problem there. Eastbound 44 from 141 to Big Bend looks good. Eastbound 40 from 141 to Mason, however, you've got slow traffic there. Westbound 270 from Canal Bridge all the way into 367. Look for normal traffic for your 7:30 commute. Eastbound 70 at 79. Look for slow traffic out there. Westbound 40 between Brentwood and Hanley. Traffic is slow due to an earlier accident. Westbound 5570 from 4th Street on the PSP. Look for slow traffic in the left lanes. Westbound 64 at the Bow Avenue and the PSB. Look for no problems there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank onto the Laclede's Landing looks good. Northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the approaches of the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for no problems there. Sulphur Springs at Manchester, there's an accident reported. In Gladys in California, there's an incident of a house explosion. That's in Collinsville over on the east side. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the St. Louis Boat and Marine Show. Doc Dog's Big Air Competition returns to the St. Louis Boat, Marine, and Sports Show February 7th through the 12th at the America Center. Visit stlouisboatshow.com for more details. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. For today, mostly cloudy, high in the upper 30s. This evening, mostly cloudy, scattered flurries with a low in the mid-20s. Moving on to Saturday, mostly cloudy, scattered flurries, a high in the lower 30s. And Sunday, partly sunny skies with a high in the mid-30s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have clouds and 29 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 28, clouds and a wind chill of 23. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. It's Looking Black. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-376-9913.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. Our former IRS agents and tax professionals have successfully negotiated settlements for thousands of our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
According to IRS statistics, the average settlement for accepted offers and compromise was between 12 and 15 cents per tax dollar owed, which means you could qualify to reduce your tax debt by as much as 85%. If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-376-9913. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-376-9913. That's 800-376-9913.
It's Valentine's Day. My goodness gracious. Okay. All right. You've had enough time. You had enough time. I know you're thinking about what am I going to do, what am I going to do, what am I going to do for Valentine's Day. You only have a couple more days. Make up your mind. Do something special. Do something different. Why don't you have a wonderful Valentine's Day announcement right here on the wake-up call on Valentine's Day. That's right. You can put together a 60-second spot to tell the world how much you love your husband, your wife, your son, your daughter, your mother, your father, your best friend, the world. Send a Valentine's message to the world right here on the wake-up call. Here's the number to call to get it done, 367-2743. That's 367-2743, 367-2743. Let the world know how much you love them. Let the world know how much you care. Call 367-2743 and put your Valentine's Day message on the wake-up call on Valentine's Day morning. How wonderful is that? Get that done.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-376-9913.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. Our former IRS agents and tax professionals have successfully negotiated settlements for thousands of our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
According to IRS statistics, the average settlement for accepted offers and compromise was between 12 and 15 cents per tax dollar owed, which means you could qualify to reduce your tax debt by as much as 85%. If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-376-9913. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-376-9913. That's 800-376-9913.
Are those wedding bells I'm hearing? You know what that means. No, not Valentine's Day. It's the St. Clair Bridal Fest Spring Review at St. Clair Square, February 18th and 19th. Whether you're planning an entire wedding or just looking for ideas for your wedding planner, the St. Clair Bridal Fest Spring Review is the place to be. Bridal Fest will have vendors and exhibitors from all areas of the bridal and party industry. See the latest fashions while you explore a variety of displays that are sure to inspire. Take a break in the center court and enjoy the music from Night Magic and Entertainment. Don't forget to stop by the Bridal Registry, sign up for the mailing list, and pick up your Bridal Fest bingo card. Fill in the spaces and you could win one of thousands of dollars in prizes to be given away all weekend long. That's the St. Clair Bridal Fest, February 18th and 19th, hosted by St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. Sponsored by Patty Cakes, Night Magic Entertainment, and Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Get more details at spcshows.com. This is a Specialized Promotional Concepts production.
Real life, on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Every ghetto, every city, suburban place I've been, make me recall my days in the New Jerusalem. You know it's hot, don't forget what you got. Looking back, you know it's hot.
Looking Black, the Week in Review. The Week Ahead, in Differing Perspectives, with Liz Brown.
Well, welcome back to Looking Black. Our guest this morning is Lynn Washington, columnist with the Philadelphia Tribune, and he's joining us from Philadelphia. Welcome back, Lynn. So what else has caught your mind out here?
I've just been following this spying scandal. This is really serious. There's actually two spying scandals at least going on. The one that's occupying a lot of news about the NSA wiretaps, that new information seemingly daily is coming out, that is not just limited to international calls, that there's been a lot of monitoring domestically of people who have nothing to do with Al-Qaeda. But there's also this notion of monitoring, spying, and in some ways harassing particular groups. That's another story that's kind of lurking behind. And tying all of those together is, once again, this continuing bending and breaking of the law by the Bush administration and the failure of Congress to take any action. unfortunately, there are some people who are standing up. We don't hear about it because the news is blocking them out. But this spying is, again, shades of the efforts that were directed against the civil rights movement, the Black Power movement, and the anti-war movements back in the 60s and early 70s.
And the pulse of the nation on this, how do you feel? What's it percolating like there in Philadelphia?
Well, people are concerned about it, but, you know, there's those kind of like life issues that are right up front on that people are trying to deal with. I mean, in the Philadelphia area, we have rampant violence, and a lot of people are trying to get gun legislation passed in that. What they're trying to get the legislature to do is pass a law that just bars people from buying more than one gun a month, that you can't go in and buy 100 guns in a month. Even avid collectors like my uncle have no need for 100 guns a month. But that's only one part of it. When we look at the statistics, and I was at a Philadelphia City Council hearing day before yesterday, and the mayor of the city, as well as the police commissioner, in their presentations noted that nearly half of the murders are not drug-related or strangers. It's people who know each other, family disputes or disputes between friends that escalate to this kind of homicidal rage and people pull a gun. Now, if you get rid of all of the guns and you still have that homicidal rage, people are going to use a fork or a plate or something. So, you know, there has to be something to look at. Why is our country in such rage, and what can be done about it? I know a couple of things that could be done about it, at least in the Philadelphia area. People need jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people are literally starving out here. And, you know, we play these little funny games about, oh, unemployment rate is down. Well, the unemployment rate is down because many of the people who are unemployed never get counted at all. So these statistics are fudged. It gives a false sense of what's going on. And, you know, I don't know. There's so many things on so many fronts.
And you're right with the personal day-to-day stuff of how am I going to be able to get my baby to the doctor today? How,
mm-hmm.
You know, what kind of health care is going to be for me? I'm frightened to death that I may fall down the steps and I can't afford to go to the hospital to get it fixed.
Yeah.
So gas prices, the inability of just being stress free in this country at this time. It's madness.
Yeah.
It is really, really, it's madness, and it's difficult for people to. So I guess maybe part of the reason why people may not be as upset as they should be is because they don't have the time to do.
They don't have the time to do it, yeah. And there seems to be in this nation this collective dulling down. I mean, you earlier on in this conversation, you talked about the levels of complacency. Well, the levels of complacency are, you know, society-wide. I mean, with all of the litany of improprieties that ooze out of the White House, I mean, people are not marching in mass in streets somewhere or taking some kind of, you know, collective protest action, you know, refusal to pay taxes or something like that. I had a
woman on my show earlier this week, a young woman, 25 years old. She's written a book called Generation Debt, Why Now Is a Terrible Time to Be Young in America.
Wow.
And it's a profound book from the perspective of a clear description of all of the challenges that face young people that I did not have to deal with, and I imagine you didn't have to deal with these either, coming out of college with loans that they have to pay back of $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, sometimes $100,000, the credit card debt that they're allowed to get into, because when I went to college, I couldn't get a credit card because I needed a co-signer to sign on a credit card for someone 21 years old. The laws have been changed, so now they pursue these young people. They get credit cards. They come out of college with credit card debt. They come out of college with loan debts, the Pell Grants. The grants have been eliminated. Then you hear young people saying that a college degree is the new high school diploma.
And it is, and I mean, you know, teach at a college. I mean, yeah, that's my bread and butter.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just so absurd when I look out at my journalism students, and I know the majority of them who are going to get jobs are going to be getting jobs in the $25,000 to $35,000 range.
That's right.
Where in the state of Pennsylvania, a prison guard, a starting prison guard that requires a high school degree, starts off at $35,000 a year.
What does that say? What does that say about
it? That says a whole lot about our priorities, but it says a lot about these young people who are trying to better themselves by going to college, so much so that they're willing to incur enormous debt to pay for it, and there's less and less payout on the other end. You know, I would really like to read through this book that
it's very good.
Talking about.
It's very good.
Because one of my daughters lives in the D.C. area, has been working hard for the last 7 years to accumulate enough money to buy a house through a bequeath from a relative. She got a nice big chunk of money to add to her money,
mm-hmm.
and she's still locked out of the market.
Yep.
I mean, she could put down perhaps $80,000.
And it's not enough.
It is not enough for even a condo. We're not even talking about a standalone house in Washington, D.C.
We got to take a break on that obscene note. That's crazy. That is crazy. We're taking a break. I'm talking to columnist Lynn Washington. He's a columnist with the Philadelphia Tribune. He's joining us from Philly. This is Looking Black, where we talk to African journalists all over the world and get their perspective on the week past, what caught their eye, what news stories was of interest to them. I'm Liz Brown. I'll be back.
Global News Update is brought to you this hour by
Alliance Financial Group. How do the rich get rich? Let Alliance Financial Group show you how. Call 381-8967.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline, Washington. The military has developed a new piece of combat equipment that is designed to offer protection to the face against explosive devices. It's called FAST, or Facial Armor System Technology. This face guard is lightweight, is supposed to have good ventilation, and is supposed to be comfortable in all types of weather conditions. When a soldier wears this contraption, he sort of looks like RoboCop, with only the areas around the eyes exposed. The Army has been wanting something like this for some time now because of so much carnage being inflicted by improvised explosive devices. And, Dateline Washington, a report in the Christian Science Monitor says the government is working on a new computer system that will be able to collect unthinkable amounts of information and compare it to government information to look for patterns of terrorist activity. This system is to be known as ADVISE, short for Analysis, Dissemination, Visualization, Insight, and Semantic Enhancement. It'll belong to the Department of Homeland Security and has already received $50 million in funding this year. This system will be so broad it can snoop on everything from news stories to emails to financial records to law enforcement files. It'll look for keywords or phrases and even plot patterns to examine motives and intentions. This program is so big and so secretive that few in Washington have any working knowledge of it, but without some sort of oversight, critics are saying such a program of data mining could creep over into an untold number of privacy problems. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update, brought to you this hour by Alliance Financial Group, 381-8967.
Would you like to earn $500 to $2,500 a month? Have you been turned down for a real estate loan because of bad or poor credit? Would you like to invest in real estate but you don't know how to get started? All you need is the right strategy. Let Alliance Financial Group show you how with a free financial presentation every Thursday, 7 p.m. at the Airport Hilton Hotel. Seating is limited, so call 381-8967.
Before you go to the movies, go to Radio Free St. Louis. Find out what's worth seeing and what's not worth the bother. Join Dave Lenahan and Mark Glass for What's Good New at the Movies, a regular feature of Today's Solutions, Friday afternoons at 4:10 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Also online at www.blacktie-stlewis.com.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else, where else, where else? The washers, dryers, DVDs, and the best customer service in the city of St. Louis. I'm telling you, they treat you like you're gold when you walk into Jerome Williams Sears. Full-service Sears, the only one in the city of St. Louis. Black-owned, black-operated. You got to buy a refrigerator? You need a bunch of them for your apartment building? Get on over to 3425 Union. That's right, 3425 Union. Sears, get your shop on. And tell Jerome I told you to.
The St. Louis Zoo Science Seminar Series continues on Wednesday, February 15th at 7:30 p.m. with a session on Einstein's Theory of Relativity. It takes place at the Living World and admission is free. Reservations are not required. To find out more, call 314-768-5466 or visit stlzoo.org. News to you from WGNU.
Real life, on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Looking Black, the week in review, the week ahead, in differing perspectives with Liz Brown.
Looking Black, welcome back. Our guest this morning is Lynn Washington. He's a columnist with the Philadelphia Tribune. He's joining us from Philly, and we're looking black. Let me get to a caller or two, Lynn. Charles, good morning. You have a question or comment for our guest? Good morning, Charles. Charles?
Good morning, Liz.
Yes.
Well, you struck a nerve when you started talking about those student loans. Took me 15 years to pay off mine.
Wow.
And and I have a daughter in law school at this time down in Texas, so.
Is she paying full freight for it?
Pretty much. Dad is there and, you know, scholarships, but still the cost is, we still got a loan. The cost is phenomenal.
And you know what the guest from last week said, Lynn? She said that in her book that lawyers are the people that default on their loans more than any other group. It's like 25 to 30% default because the jobs aren't there to sustain the payback. Thank you, Charles.
Thank you.
All right. Isn't that something, Lynn? Lynn, are you there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
I'm sorry. Isn't that something?
Oh, yeah. And I had an opportunity to take part in a year-long fellowship at the Yale Law School about 10, 12 years ago. And at the time, I was astounded the amount of debt that people were taking on to go through law school. I mean, they would do the tuition and other fees plus living expenses. So they were coming out with hundreds of thousands of dollars. And in any way to pay it back, most folks had to do this corporate law. They couldn't do the
exactly.
type of law that they really wanted.
Exactly.
And as you know, being a lawyer, those sorts of environment in terms of stress, you work 10 hours a day, sometimes 7 days a week. You never are in a courtroom because
it's your right.
partners
That's right.
that are the ones that are actually doing the litigation.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's such
you're a grunt. You are a well-heeled, well-paid grunt. And that's why there's such burnout in the legal field. Most of the people that I went to law school with, Lynn, mm-hmm. are not practicing law. Mm-hmm. They leave the profession because it is first of all, it's not what you think it's going to be. You think that, you know, you have this wonderful idea that things are going to be, that is the law. It's pure. It's going to be right. But you find that there's a whole lot of bad stuff that goes on out here.
Yeah.
And it's hard on people.
Yeah.
It truly, truly is hard on people. And other people use their law degree to go do something else as currency, if you will,
mm-hmm.
to say that I should be, let me go be a broadcast journalist because I have a law degree.
Right.
They use it like that.
Yeah. Well, we just talked about high cost of education and problems with the law degree. But when young people come to me for counsel asking for options for graduate school,
mm-hmm. what do you tell them?
I say go to law school because you have more options with a law degree because it does give you currency in our society.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you're going to spend time and money to get an advanced degree, get one that gives you the most flexibility. And I feel that's still a law degree. You know, you can do business. You can do media. You can do law.
Yeah, you can do law. You can teach. You can, because you have your master's.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you have your JD.
Yep.
So you have your doctorate. So yeah. So it is for that. But then when people come to, young people come to me to talk about going to law school, I'm always, don't saddle yourself with the debt. I don't know that I think it is worth it to have $100,000 worth of debt.
Right.
Because
right.
you cannot live life. How do you maintain, how do you become a creative being when you have this oppressive weight on you all the time of I've got to pay this back, how do you start a family? How do you start a relationship with somebody when you're walking into the relationship with $100,000 debt?
Yeah, it's difficult. And what I've learned, and not only anecdotally but experientially, a bad credit report is worse for you than a bad reputation.
Mm.
You live in Alabama, you can move to Alaska and get away from a bad reputation.
Mm-hmm.
But that credit report will follow you to Outer Mongolia.
Yeah. And then the student loans are loans that can never be discharged until you die.
That's right. Look, I in the 70s, you know, I mean, I admit that I was not responsible in paying my student loans back. It was like, I'll get around to it when I feel like getting around to it. And 15 years after graduating from college, when I was trying to refinance a mortgage, it popped up, and I was required to pay that loan back. And my wife was required to pay her loan back. And she was, you know, responsible. I mean, I'm the one that was acting like a pirate. But she only owed $300. And they would not refinance the house until all of those loans were paid off. Now, of course, they could roll that money into the loan,
yeah.
which happened. But, you know, these loans are very, very serious.
And they are government loans, so they don't have to be like this.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is Fannie Mae, they make so much money because the government guarantees it, and the government is going to get student loan money from a 60-something-year-old man who has $20,000 in debt for schools.
Mm-hmm.
He is diabetic. He has no legs. He cannot work. He has no job, and they are saying we're taking your Social Security check to pay for this student loan.
This is outrageous.
And that's what the Supreme Court of the United States said.
This is outrageous.
It really is. They're taking his Social Security check to pay for a student loan.
Oh.
When the man has no legs and cannot work. And he didn't finish the school. It's just outrageous.
It is. And when you contrast that to what's this latest supplemental request for money for the wars in
mm-hmm.
Iraq and Afghanistan, $70 billion?
That's right.
$70 billion could wipe out the student loan debt for a vast majority of current and former students in this country.
Do you know how the United States would just rock if all of these young people had all of that weight taken off of them?
Mm-hmm.
What they could do, the things that you could do, the places you could go.
Yeah,
you know, if you didn't have that kind
of the market solving all the problems. If you had that energy,
that's right.
From the relief from this debt
that's
coming
right.
in, we might stop. We might be able to create things that will prevent the outflow of jobs to places like India
in China.
And the person that would walk into the White House and in the first executive action, get rid of all of the debt for every college, at that particular moment, every college student that had a debt was wiped off the books, he or she would never be unelected. They would be elected for the rest of their lives.
Why don't we have a coalition of the willing so we can get rid of this student loan debt? I mean,
okay.
America, when they were buying people to support this illegal invasion of Iraq, they were excluding their foreign debt.
That's right. That's right.
So it can be done.
It can be done.
And
it can be done.
It's not, you know, can it, you know, it's not the way of doing it. It's the will to do it.
And, Lynn, that has to be our last word. Lynn Washington,
okay, great.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Talk to you soon.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Listen, folks, Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. We'll be back in the next hour to talk about the best little whorehouse in Washington. Lynn's the madam for it. Jack Abramoff. I'll be back.
You stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches. There's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound
It's AM 920 WGNU.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. The opening ceremonies for the 2006 Winter Olympics are only a few hours away, but the U.S. has already suffered a major defeat, and it's one that could be felt in future games. ABC's Aaron Katursky has details from Torino.
The U.S. has suffered a loss of influence and a temporary loss of two skiers. Keegan Randall and Leif Zimmerman were suspended 5 days, along with six other skiers, for high levels of hemoglobin. It could indicate doping, but the U.S. ski team says it's more of a health and safety issue. They'll miss no events. Americans are looking to top their record 34 medals from the last Winter Olympics, but away from the venues, the U.S. has already lost. The one American on the International Olympic Committee Executive Board has been voted out. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, Torino.
Neil Entwistle will soon be on his way back to the U.S. Authorities in Massachusetts think he fled the country just before the bodies of his wife and infant daughter were found. He was arrested yesterday in his native Britain, and once he returns,
he will be arraigned in a court in Middlesex, and it will take its course as any other murder prosecution does in our county. Presumably, we would request he would be held without bail, and it will be on a track. It could be 9 months to a year before it comes to trial. It could be a little bit sooner.
Middlesex County, Massachusetts District Attorney Martha Coakley. Kidnapped American journalist Jill Carroll has been on TV again, this time in Kuwait. The freelance writer says she's with the Mujahideen in Iraq, and she is asking that their demands be met. More trouble, meanwhile, for U.S. troops in Iraq. ABC's David Wright in Baghdad.
Two Marines were killed yesterday when their patrol was attacked by a roadside bomb near Fallujah. That whole area near Fallujah and Ramadi continues to be a major hotspot.
That's ABC's David Wright in Baghdad. Former Connecticut Governor John Rowland is out of prison after serving 10 months. He was driven from office in 2004 over a corruption scandal. This is ABC News.
Sick of those out-of-control energy bills? With the Home Depot's help, lowering them is easier than you think. We have thousands of energy-saving products, many organized in easy-to-find displays throughout the store, all designed to save you money. You know, you could save up to $100 this year just by switching to a programmable thermostat. Learn how to save even more at our free clinics and at homedepot.com/energy. We're your home for energy savings. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. We can help.
Harry, what are you doing in our living room shirtless?
Don't call me Harry. My name is Thor, Prince of the Night.
Thor?
Yes, my temptress. I have traveled far to find you this treasure.
What treasure?
A treasure as unique as you, my damsel.
A diamond right-hand ring for Valentine's Day?
Yes. Surrender to me.
Oh, Thor.
Anyone can be a romantic hero this Valentine's Day. Give her a diamond right-hand ring that shows you know who she really is. Go to adiamondisforever.com/valentine and find the perfect style for her.
Could a court really decide if Jesus existed? ABC's Richard Cantu says It's a moot point now.
An Italian judge has rejected Luigi Caccioli's lawsuit. The 72-year-old atheist had accused his hometown priest of conning the public by asserting the existence of Christ 2,000 years ago. The priest, an old schoolmate of Caccioli's, says he's glad it's ended this way. He can't imagine there being an actual trial over whether Jesus existed. And in a turnabout, the judge recommends authorities investigate Caccioli for possible slander. Caccioli says bring it on, adding that to prove he lied, prosecutors would have to prove Jesus existed. And he says they don't have any proof. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Craigslist says it gets ads almost nonstop, so there's really no way that it can monitor the content of each one of them. Well, someone found something racially offensive in at least one of the postings on the website, and now Craigslist could be headed to federal court accused of violating fair housing laws. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, police have yet to release the name of a driver killed yesterday in a collision with a Metro bus. Witnesses told police that the driver ran a red light and never slowed down before he crashed into the rear of the bus at Union and Minerva. The driver of the car died at an area hospital. Several people on the bus were treated for minor injuries. The attorney for a man allegedly assaulted by Maplewood and St. Louis police officers last week says he doesn't expect his client to face charges in the near future. Despite reports that Edmund Burns would be charged yesterday in connection with the police chase that preceded the beating, his attorney Scott Rosenblum says the matter is being taken under advisement. He says charges will likely not come until the FBI completes its investigation into the entire incident. Finally this hour, Missouri Governor Matt Blunt is still reviewing a report from the Missouri Department of Natural Resources on the Tomsock Reservoir in Reynolds County and other dams in the state. The report was issued in response to the collapse of the reservoir in December. Blunt says it's important to learn as much as possible from this disaster.
We want to make sure that we learn all the lessons we can from that Tomsock disaster, and I think improving and increasing the amount of dam inspections we do all across the state is definitely going to be an important part of the solution as we move forward.
Blunt's administration will issue a position on dam safety in the near future. The governor wanted the DNR to take a hard look at the state's dam safety operations compared to other states and what the state should be inspecting. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by HeatUpSt.Louis.org. Baby, it's cold inside. Help area elderly and disabled beat the winter cold snap with a donation to HeatUpSt.Louis.org. Please donate today at HeatUpSt.Louis.org. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is also sponsored by HeatUpSt.Louis.org. Northbound 270 at Dorset. Look for a disabled vehicle in the right lane. It's blocked and it's blocking the exit ramp as well. Northbound 55 from Richardson to Bayless looks good. Eastbound 44 from Bolt 141 to Big Bend. No problems report there. Eastbound 40 from 141 to Mason. Traffic's easing this hour. Westbound 270 from Canal Bridge all the way to 367 looks good. Eastbound 70 at 79 look for slow traffic there. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley, you got slow traffic. Westbound 40 between Brentwood and McKnight has returned back to normal after an earlier stall. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street onto the PSB, look for slow traffic. Westbound 64 at Bow Avenue and the PSB, no problems there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Gravel Pit onto LaCleese Landing is on the move. Northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge, look for normal traffic for your 8 a.m. commute. Also, northbound 94 at Jungerman, there's a report of an accident. County Highway DD at County Highway D, there's an overturned vehicle. U.S. 50 at Memory Lane in O'Fallon, Illinois, there's a report of an accident. And Gladys at California, there's an incident involving a house explosion that's in Collinsville. Fire crews are on the scene now. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by HeatUpSt.Louis.org. Rise and shine for Heat Up St. Louis and get a free sausage and egg biscuit sandwich with a buck donation at Hardee's Friday, February 17th. Your extra change could also keep the needy warm on those cold winter days.
Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Mostly cloudy, high in the upper 30s today. This evening, mostly cloudy, scattered flurries with a low in the 20s. Moving on to Saturday, mostly cloudy. Once again, flurries are possible, high in the lower 30s. Friday evening, mostly cloudy, or Saturday evening, mostly cloudy until early morning, then becoming partly cloudy with flurries and a low around 15. Then on Sunday, partly sunny skies with a high in the mid-30s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 29 degrees under clouds. Lambert Field is reporting 29 degrees as well with clouds and 22 for a wind chill. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news or your traffic and your weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
You're listening to AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. My goodness, it's 8 o'clock. This is a heads-up. The Coalition Against Police Crimes and Repression is meeting today. There is going to be a coalition, press statements by the Coalition and the Coretta Scott King Initiative. There will be a rally today. It's about the Board Bill 69, the bill that would create a civilian review board. You need to be there. The vote is taking place. there needs to be pressure put on for a passage of a civilian review board, Board Bill 69. And that's going to start at 9 a.m. in front of City Hall, and that's at Tucker and Market. And there will, again, there will be press statements by the Coalition Against Police Crimes and Repression and the Coretta Scott King Initiative. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You know, things are problematic when folks that are really kind of, what's the word I'm looking for, hush mouth folks, folks that don't say a whole lot. When the Wall Street Journal is writing an article, or writes an article entitled, "The White House Can't Sweep Aside Abramoff," you know the stuff's got to be pretty deep. Pretty, pretty, pretty deep. If the Wall Street Journal is saying, ooh, he's the proverbial gum stuck to the sole of the shoe. Oh, yeah. The Wall Street Journal said, "The scandal surrounding disgraced lobbyist Jack Abramoff has shaken up Capitol Hill, but it still poses a significant problems," that's problems with an S, "for the Bush White House." We need to talk about this. We need to talk about why this is such a serious issue. We need to talk about, I know we don't have that much time, because I don't know how many days we'd have to set aside to fully articulate all of the places where the tentacles of Abramoff reached. But we need to talk about that. And we're going to talk about it from a different perspective. Joining us this morning to do that, to facilitate that conversation, I have Rick Cohen, the Executive Director with National Committee for Responsive Philanthropy, joining us from Washington, D.C. Rick Cohen, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Okay.
Very good. This is not the area where people normally think of Jack Abramoff, is it?
Well, Jack Abramoff, as you say, had a lot of tentacles,
mm-hmm.
and one of his tentacles was into the nonprofit sector, where he used nonprofits, particularly a foundation, as a camouflage for the buying and selling of favors and access to important politicians.
Well, how did that work?
Well, he established he had many corporations under his name. To track his corporate life is really quite a research task in itself. But one of his corporations was a charitable foundation called the Capital Athletic Foundation.
Sounds promising.
Oh, very nice. It was supposed to encourage sportsmanship for underprivileged children, which children is always a great cover, which
yeah.
is one of the unfortunate things about some of the more corrupt people in the sector, that you hide behind kids, and that's one of the mechanisms. So he raised money from a number of sources. The charitable donors included Indian tribes and some of his lobbying clients, other lobbying clients, and so forth. And what he would do with that money is, rather than necessarily giving it for sportsmanship, well, he did give little $500 grants here and there to a Boys and Girls Club or to a tennis group and so forth. Most of the money went for underprivileged members of Congress, I'd say. For example, he financed a trip to a fancy golf course in Scotland.
And that was through his not-for-profit?
That's right. He paid for this. It's quite a story. You have to be a bit of a gumshoe to track all this, but he financed a trip for Congressman Bob Ney from Ohio, and also from a senior person in the White House's General Services Administration that is in charge of government property. But they got to play there with some lobbyists and others, and The importance of this was that Ney was in charge of handing out contracts on Capitol Hill for Wi-Fi access on Capitol Hill. One of the contributors to the foundation happened to be a firm called Foxconn that wanted to get that contract. It was also happened to be a lobbying client of Mr. Abramoff, and lo and behold, GSA and Congressman Ney arranged that Foxconn got that contract, which was worth millions. I don't think that was quite the needy children's sportsmanship kind of activities that had been anticipated.
Is that legal?
Well, there's a real problem here, is that a lot of things that are done under the guise of 501c3 nonprofits may be legal, even though they aren't right.
So, was that legal?
Well, it's going to be hard to figure out whether that's really legal or not. The laws are so thin that it is possible that that may have skirted the bounds of legality. And that's the shocking part of this kind of situation, which my organization is calling for much tighter regulation of any charity that is directly benefiting a member of Congress or associated with a member of Congress or associated with one of the K Street lobbyists.
Well, who is supposed to be regulating how 501(c)(3)s are used?
Well, it's the Internal Revenue Service.
Huh?
But if you look at the indictments of and the plea bargains with Jack Abramoff, you don't see much mention of his nonprofit. I mean, you had people, even like my organization is very tiny, but we saw the stuff just looking at Abramoff's financial reports to IRS. And we're wondering, why didn't the IRS call him on this?
And how does an IRS investigation get started?
Well, it requires, first thing should be that somebody at IRS reads the forms that Abramoff supplies and they say there's something wrong here. I mean,
at
IRS could have looked at it to say, gee, there, he purchased sniper equipment and sniper training for a school in Israel. And the money went and ended up in the hands of West Bank settlers. Is that a charitable activity that is worth at least making an inquiry about? Or he gave a huge amount of money, probably two-thirds of the money of his foundation, to a school in Maryland that happened to be established by Jack Abramoff that he chaired and educated his kids.
Stop it.
And that's, of course, I mean, you would think of that as self-interest, if not self-dealing. Those at least got to get somebody at IRS to pick up the phone and say, hey, Jack, would you explain these things?
And then what are the benefits of having it as a 501(c)(3)?
Well, there are a number of things that can be done through a 501(c)(3). I mean, you basically, some of this stuff can be done where it's not revealed necessarily to the public. It would be hard to make the connection between the contribution from that Wi-Fi firm that went to pay for the trip and, you know, Bob Nay could say, oh, I didn't realize that that firm was one of the contributors and so forth. I mean, you can basically camouflage a lot of activities that are simply a matter of buying and selling access to important people.
No, I guess my question was, is why did Jack Abramoff choose 501(c)(3)s? What was the advantage to that as opposed to creating a foundation, as opposed to a PAC?
Well, this is a foundation. I mean, he created a foundation. 501(c)(3)s are both regular nonprofits, and foundations are also 501(c)(3)s.
Okay, so why
this is the foundation.
So why
the difference is that, of course, a contributor who makes a donation to a 501(c)(3) gets a tax deduction. If you make a contribution to a PAC, a political action committee, or a 527, you don't get the tax deduction.
So let me get this straight. I just have to stop you here for a second, Rick. You're telling me that Jack Abramoff was able to donate money to his foundation, his
right.
501. He took that money, put it in the school for his children where he serves on the board.
Well, he founded it, too.
And he founded it.
That's right.
And then he gets to get a tax write-off for that.
That's correct. If you check out, I mean, Jack Abramoff is a story that, as you pointed out in your opening, this is going to last for a long time. But he has so many corporate identities, there's very little Jack there. And a lot of these limited liability corporations, and actually Capital Athletic was established as a limited liability corporation. The board of directors of this foundation is Jack and his wife. So you have very little oversight in terms of the kind of oversight any normal good nonprofit would have. And you have to ask yourself why. And it's pretty obvious.
And you also have to ask yourself, somebody needs to lose their job for letting this stuff happen, shouldn't they?
Well, I think I think the people of the IRS are culpable. They should have been indicted along with Jack. Because when you look at these very obvious activities, that at least should have prompted somebody to say, there's something wrong here, something smells. And then nobody did a thing. that's something that, that Senator Grassley and Senator Baucus at the Senate Finance Committee and others ought to be basically, you know, hauling the people from IRS up to the Capitol by their petards and asking, what are you guys doing?
And how much money are we talking about that and that have passed through these 501s for Jack Abramoff?
Well, just this one. I mean, this is just one 501c3 had several million dollars passed through it. And I would say at most, if 1% of that money went to sportsmanship activities, I'd be surprised.
Mm.
If you consider the trip for Bob Ney sportsmanship, maybe. I don't think so. If you consider a dinner honoring Jonas Savimbi in Angola, a sportsmanship activity, I'm not quite sure. There are never, you think of a grant to a group called Toward Tradition, a conservative media group and a religious group out in Seattle, Jack was again on the board of that as well, which requires board members to give a $10,000 personal contribution, but he gave it through the foundation. The key is, when the money's in the foundation, it's your money, it's my money, it's not his money, it's tax-exempt money. And the fact that he got to play with this like it's fun money and play money, really is cheating all of us because we're
the one
that tax exemption.
So we're the one, and we're the ones that are paying.
We, in essence, we allowed him to basically take this money and use it this way, rather than having it go into government coffers where we can vote on it. So it's our money that he got to use.
Didn't they get Al Capone in jail through the IRS?
Yeah, I think that was actually not declaring certain income.
Right, but I'm saying that there should be additional time tacked on to Abramoff from the IRS piece of this.
Oh, yeah. I think certainly there should be not only additional charges here, and at least four of the groups I know of that are listed as having received grants, said he never got a check from this guy. There's a children's group in Brooklyn named Pitach, a Jewish group, and that was listed as getting a $300,000 grant, and they say, we don't have a check for him. There are other schools. There's a Waldorf school in Atlanta that supposedly got $20,000, $30,000. They never got a check from him. So either they're lying, or this guy was even saying that he was putting down, he was making grants and never sending the checks out. Wouldn't IRS ask what happened to the money?
And
I know it sounds awfully silly.
It's just jaw dropping. It's just absolutely jaw dropping that this much has gone unaddressed.
Well, and then you add to it the fact that some of the tribes that gave money to this foundation didn't realize they were giving money to the foundation. They didn't realize they were giving money for sportsmanship activities. They didn't realize they were giving money to Bob Ney to go to Scotland.
They didn't know that because
Jack didn't tell them, or he told them something different. I mean, there's an issue of donor responsibility as well. What about the people that donated? I'm sure that the Wi-Fi firm that wanted the contract knew what it was doing, but some of those tribes may not have known.
Can people get their money back? Can the IRS take back? I mean, the fact that Jack Abramoff has taken all these tax deductions that he wasn't entitled to, that's, somebody should be going after him for that.
I think they could be going after Jack for a career. Jack Abramoff has done so many things wrong just from the nonprofit side, and realize that this is the reason I think a lot of this didn't appear in the justice indictment is that this is small potatoes in some ways to some of his other crimes. But what makes it big potatoes to us is that it's tax-exempt money. It hurts not just the fact that some donors got hurt. It hurts the credibility of nonprofits. It hurts nonprofits that are listening to you. It hurts nonprofits exist on trust and credibility with the American public. If the public thinks, gee, if we give our money to a nonprofit, it's really going to go to a lobbyist or a politician,
yeah,
or they're going to use it for some other purpose.
Yeah, and because they can.
Because they can,
and they're not going to get in trouble for it.
And there's nobody watching at the store.
Let me get to a caller or two here. Max, you have a question for our guest, Rick Cohen.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Brown. Sir, we know there's always been lobbying groups. There's always been lobbying groups from both ends of the spectrum, both parties. But if you haven't yet, and I've joined your conversation in progress, have you explained the K Street Project to us yet?
Thanks for your call, Max.
Good morning.
Did you hear the question?
Yeah, this is about the K Street Project.
Right.
Well, the K Street Project, as you remember, was an effort of Tom DeLay and others. And Tom DeLay, by the way, once identified Jack Abramoff as one of his best friends. So there's a DeLay connection to the Abramoff Foundation as well. The K Street Project was an effort of the Republican majority to make sure that lobbyists and trade associations that hire lobbyists or do interest group lobbying basically hired Republicans and not Democrats. It was basically meant to sort of... The strategy was really to change the structure and dynamic and composition of how influence is bought, sold, and delivered.
And also,
in Washington.
Wasn't it also a consolidation, like everything that is going on in Washington, D.C. right now, a consolidation of power?
Yeah. It's basically making sure that the tentacles of power that sprung from Tom DeLay reached into every aspect of how government and outside of government operated. So, I mean, certainly the blossoming of Jack Abramoff's lobbying career clearly coincides with the K Street Project. I think the interesting thing, though, is that what I hear is that there are plenty of lobbyists that are working with members of Congress to do various kinds of nonprofit and charitable activities that have sort of the same kind of camouflage stuff.
Based on the model of Abramoff.
And the model of Tom DeLay's foundation, the model of Bill Frist's charitable fundraiser, and so forth.
We need to take a break here. I'm talking to Rick Cohen, and he's the executive director with the National Committee for Responsive Philanthropy. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with us.
St. Louis, 30 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Account Temps. Northbound 270 at Dorset, there's a disabled vehicle. Right lane is blocked on the exit ramp. Northbound 55 from Richardson to Bayless. No problems to report. Eastbound 44 from 141 to Big Bend looks good. Eastbound 40 from 141 to Mason. That traffic is easing this hour. Northbound 270 from Gravoy to 44 is on the move. Westbound 270 from the Canal Bridge all the way in the 367 looks good. Westbound 40 between McClausland and Hanley. No problems there. Westbound 40 between Brentwood and McKnight. Everything is on the move. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street onto the PSB. Look for slow traffic. Westbound 64 from 25th onto the PSB looks good. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the gravel pit to LaCleats Landing. No, nothing to report there. Northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge looks good. And Chesterfield Airport at Long Road, there's a report of an accident. And then over on the east side, Gladys Street at California Avenue, there's an incident. That's a house explosion that's in Collinsville. Fire crews are on the scene at this hour. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Account Temps, the world's leader in specialized financial staffing. When you need temporary accounting or financial help, call Account Temps. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. For today, mostly cloudy, high in the upper 30s. This evening, mostly cloudy, scattered flurries with a low in the mid-20s. Moving on to Saturday, mostly cloudy, flurries possible, high in the lower 30s. Saturday evening, mostly cloudy till early morning, becoming partly cloudy with flurries and a low around 15. And then on Sunday, partly sunny skies with a high in the mid-30s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 31 degrees under cloudy skies. Lambert Fields reporting 29. The wind chill makes it feel like it's about 23 outside, so bundle up if you are going outside. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis. AM 920 WGNU.
You want your preschooler to be ready for school. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is ready to help you prepare your preschooler not only for school, but also for life. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is an outreach of Trinity Tabernacle Assembly of God in Bridgeton. Your child, age 2 to 4, receives a non-denominational Bible curriculum with Bible stories, songs, arts and crafts, plus lessons in numbers, science, arts, and phonics to help prepare him or her for kindergarten. Your child will also grow personally, socially, educationally, and spiritually every day as a unique individual created by God. Call Christine at 314-291-8839 to learn more about Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center and to register your child. Open Monday through Friday from 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center, 11950 Mark Twain Drive in Bridgeton, 314-291-8839. Serving the community since 1979.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920 WGNU. This is the station that discusses the issues that matter most to you. And if you have a problem with personal work or family relationships, it really matters to me. So call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA. Tune in to Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Weekday afternoons from 2 to 4. Then go do the right thing.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Ooh, I got something I want to talk about. Y'all listen here. The time has come to air my feelings. Yeah. There's just so much confusion going down. But sometimes you got to stand out from the crowd. Everyone got their own opinion. And you know, I sure got mine. It's my world.
My world. This is Liz Brown. Our number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. My guest this hour, Rick Cohen, Executive Director with the National Committee for Responsive Philanthropy. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. And Rick, welcome back.
Thank you.
The caller mentioned something about, in passing, about it's not just Republicans. Democrats are engaging in this as well. Tell us a little bit about the rockin' the dock of the bay.
Well, unfortunately, you have members of Congress that have been creating charities and foundations where interested donors that may have business in front of Congress would like to contribute, not because of charitable inclinations, mm-hmm. but because they want to buy that precious face time with members of Congress. So there have been proposals such as Tom DeLay's idea that at the Republican convention he would hold a Celebrations for Children fundraiser.
Back on the backs of the babies, huh?
Since kids do very well here. And at the on the Democratic side, Senator Blanche Lincoln of Arkansas for the Democratic Convention had proposed a charitable fundraiser, of course, for kids, called sitting Rockin' on the Dock of the Bay.
Rockin' on the Dock of the Bay.
Yeah, I was a little concerned about the name because of ripping off names that are important to us.
Okay.
But she actually backed down from hers.
Tell us on the.
Bill First went ahead with his, and Saxby Chambliss went ahead with his at the convention.
Well, and tell us about the Celebrations for Children. What did you get? What did the babies get up out of this?
Well, you have to take it back a little bit. Tom DeLay has his own foundation called the DeLay Foundation for Kids. Surprise.
Surprise, surprise.
To give him credit, DeLay has had a long-standing interest in foster children.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. That's true.
And, I'm not going to say he doesn't care about foster kids, but the idea of DeLay setting up a foundation where donors get to, corporate donors and others may get to give money to his foundation and not have their names revealed. He gets to do fundraisers where members of Congress get to fly in with their families and they don't have to reveal that they're there.
Mm.
And they don't have to reveal the cost of those trips because those are not formal business trips, like the travel expenditures that have been talked about. The connections they make with lobbyists at his fundraisers don't get revealed to the public. You have to raise questions about whether or not this is the appropriate way of helping foster children.
And, you know, show me the money. Show me where what the foster kids got out of it. And
well, they're supposedly getting a 40-unit foster children's home outside of Houston. Of course, the builder of it is the guy who financed the ads against John Kerry regarding the veterans. You keep seeing these connections, and you have to shake your head and say, there are better ways of doing this.
So what's the solution to this, Rick? What do you do to fix this?
Well, I mean, there's no one fix. And you don't want to do things where in fixing the delay in Abramoff and rocking on the dock of the bay, and I didn't even talk about the Bill Frist one, which I think is another great
one. Let's talk about that one.
No, well, Bill Frist did his fundraiser called World of Hope. His wasn't for kids. It was for AIDS research, AIDS work.
AIDS in Africa? Because that's a hot one, too.
Yeah, that was one of it. But the contributors happened to be pharmaceutical companies, what a surprise, who might have business in front of Mr. Frist, and the employees of the World of Hope happened to be Mr. Frist's campaign people. You know, so that, in fact, you find that both with Frist and DeLay, they use these nonprofits as a place to hold their campaign staff between elections.
Wow.
So there are lots of things wrong. The litany of things that could be done would be the following. First, I mean, you got to tell the IRS to wake up and start reading the forms that are submitted and asking a couple of questions. And that requires some more money to IRS. The money that is supposed to go to the tax-exempt unit over, you know, looking at these charities and these foundations is a pittance, and that should be increased. Secondly, for any foundation that is associated with a registered lobbyist or with a member of Congress, including the congressperson's campaign staff, that those foundations, those charities should reveal all their donors by name and by amount.
Mm.
And they should reveal clearly all their expenditures, including expenditures that benefit any member of Congress. Third, the charity gift ban that used to exist in Congress, where a member of Congress had to reveal when a charity would fly them off on a fundraiser, that was repealed as the first order of business in 2003 by one Tom DeLay. That should be reinstated. I mean, that has to get back on the books so that you have that kind of a disclosure done. And then the other part is really on the nonprofit sector itself. This stuff is all out there. You know, the Capital Athletic Foundation was the 23rd and 29th largest foundation donor in Washington in the years 2002 and 2003.
Mm.
You don't think other foundations knew what was going on?
Well, is there, I mean, okay.
The sector ought to be standing up and saying, you can't do this under our name.
And that's the thing that is really amazing to me, that on the side of those that are doing right, I'm not hearing any hollering. I'm not hearing any demand for or demand about the IRS investigating this.
Right. I mean, oddly enough, we're the only group that's really calling on Abramoff's nonprofit activities, much less Tom DeLay's and Bill Frist. So we've been looking at the nonprofit side of these people, and unfortunately, many nonprofits think that, well, if they call for a stronger oversight, it will affect them adversely.
Well, I guess you have to weigh that. How does it affect you adversely when you allow this to go unchecked?
Well, they're afraid that if you require increased disclosure, that maybe you would require increased disclosure on their part. We're saying disclose around the politician.
Yeah, absolutely. It begins with a P word. It's the politician.
That's right.
So make them disclose.
But I think it goes a little further than that. I mean, realize that there was legislation in 2003 that was thinking of making foundations pay out a little bit more of their money, their endowments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right now they have to spend 5% of their endowments. And they can sit on 95% of it. This law would have made them required to at least grant 5% of their endowments, and that would have meant they would have been spending 5.4%. In the foundation's own lobbying, the person they got to intervene on their behalf was one Tom DeLay. Tom DeLay was the one who they don't want to kick off Tom DeLay.
Everybody's hands are dirty or compromised.
Well, the nonprofit sector ought to be better than this. I mean, this is something where I don't think the short-term objective of being friends with Tom DeLay because you're avoiding a 0.4% increase in foundation spending is enough to turn a blind eye to the DeLay Foundation or Abramoff's Foundation or Bill Frist fundraiser or Ted Stevens in Alaska, his foundation, and so forth.
And I don't know, Rick, how do people think of all of this stuff? How do they think of all of this stuff to do?
Well, I think this is where whenever you tighten the potential abuses in one area, the smart and savvy lobbyists and lawyers will find another loophole.
Mm.
So this seems to be a bit of a reaction to restrictions or tightening up campaign finance and tightening up lobbying regulation. So when those things got tighter, they went to the nonprofit side.
Mm.
I think it's important now that nonprofits make sure that they don't get used as the latest loophole for some of the skankier kind of politicians to do corrupt deeds.
And Rick, where can people find out more information about your organization?
Well, we're on the internet at www.ncrp.org.
And I want to thank you so much for joining us on the wake-up call this morning. Rick Cohen, Executive Director with the National Committee for Responsive Philanthropy.
Thank you for having me on.
My pleasure. Listen, folks, we're going to take a break. I'm Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about.
The Wake Up Call Global News Update is brought to you this hour by
Alliance Financial Group. How do the rich get rich? Let Alliance Financial Group show you how. Call 381-8967.
This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update. Dateline Port-au-Prince. No final word yet on this week's national election in Haiti, but the first partial returns indicate former President René Préval has a solid lead with 61% of the votes counted thus far. The people in second and third place have 13% and 6%, respectively. Préval is a former protege of ousted President Aristide. Préval served as president from 1996 to 2001 and was accused of interfering in the judicial system and using the police force for political purposes. But he did try to introduce measures to help peasant farmers increase the revenue from crops they produced on land they did not own. And Dateline New York. A report in today's New York Times indicates that the Department of Homeland Security knew that a New Orleans levee had been breached almost 24 hours before the official word had come out. A FEMA official says there was an eyewitness account of the break at 9 o'clock on the night before, which was on a Sunday. Then on Monday at midday, the official took a helicopter tour of the area around the 17th Street Canal and confirmed the flooding. He contacted his superiors in Washington, who in turn called Homeland Security. President Bush, who was on vacation at his Texas ranch, was called the next day, which was a Tuesday, and he expressed relief that New Orleans had missed the brunt of the storm. He did not go back to Washington right away and stayed on his ranch for several more days. The head of Homeland Security, Michael Chertoff, then went off to Atlanta. Former FEMA official Michael Brown says he told the White House of the disaster on Monday night, but he doesn't remember who he gave that information to. New documents uncovered during Senate investigations on the disaster indicated that it was known that some 100,000 people in New Orleans had no way to get out, and the city had only partially finished work on a plan to evacuate its residents. A member of the House committee who worked on its own investigation of the matter says it's a wonder anything got accomplished because the president was out of town at his ranch on vacation, the vice president was gone on vacation fishing in Wyoming, the chief of staff was gone to a remote part of Maine, and the head of Homeland Security was gone to a bird flu conference in Georgia. So who was left to run the store? This is your wake-up call global news update, brought to you this hour by Alliance Financial Group, 381-8967.
Would you like to earn $500 to $2,500 a month? Have you been turned down for a real estate loan because of bad or poor credit? Would you like to invest in real estate but you don't know how to get started? All you need is the right strategy. Let Alliance Financial Group show you how with a free financial presentation every Thursday, 7 p.m. at the Airport Hilton Hotel. Seating is limited, so call 381-8967.
Before you go to the movies, go to Radio Free St. Louis. Find out what's worth seeing and what's not worth the bother. Join Dave Lenahan and Mark Glass for What's Good New at the Movies, a regular feature of Today's Solutions, Friday afternoons at 4:10 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Also online at www.blacktie-stlewis.com.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else are you going to get washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves? I'm telling you, right here in your neighborhood. You don't have to drive far. You don't have to drive fast. All you got to do is get there. 3425 Union, that's right. Black-owned, black-operated. They have everything in the world that a Sears store should have. They have it there with the best customer service in town. So, where are you going to get your shop on? Where are you going to go this weekend? Where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? Sears, where else?
A struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My goodness gracious, you need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Much, much, much to talk about. I'm going to begin this conversation with the word bonk. Bonk. It's a technical legal term. You got to go to law school to fully understand what the word bonk means, but I think you're going to feel me on this story. George Bush said that the U.S. and its allies stopped a scheme after 9/11 attacks in which the attackers were planned to use bombs hidden in footwear of an aeroplane and fly it into the tallest building in Los Angeles. Bunk. 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 Bunk, with a capital B. I don't believe for one New York second, for half a New York second, for a blink of an eye, for I do not believe for one second that this administration foiled anything. And here's why. Here's why. Another, I mean, the obvious reasons, because they bungled everything else. But they even, okay, let's put that aside. Let's put the bunglement aside. Let's just try to walk through this. This is an administration that started off with secrecy, with the secret energy meetings that Dick Cheney had. Cut his deals for his energy friends, and now they are having multi-billion-dollar profit quarters. I mean, that's what they do as a result of Dick Cheney. Secrecy. This is an administration that has said time and time and time and time again, I don't have to explain anything to you. We have an administration where the George W. Bush has held fewer press conferences than any other president since we've been counting press conferences. We have an administration that spends most of its time on vacation doing stuff. It's a secret, cloistered, out-of-touch administration. They believe that they don't have to tell you anything. This is an administration that says we need the flexibility of being able to torture, but we're not going to tell you when we've done that. This is an administration that said we're not going to let you see pictures of Jack Abramoff and the president. This is an administration that has said we're not going to let you see the internal records of what FEMA was doing when Katrina struck. We're not going to let you see this. We're not going to let you hear this. We're not going to let you know this. We're not going to let you. We're not going to let you. So now all of a sudden this administration that is the most closed administration in the history of this country, and it's still not closed enough for them. They want it even tighter. Now this administration is going to be, what's the word I'm looking for, forthcoming about we saved you from attacks. Kiss my grits. No, you didn't. Bunk. 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 You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Brown. I want to thank you for a good show.
Oh, you're welcome.
I really appreciate that. When we get this information, we usually don't get on the other channels or on the other stations.
Mm-hmm.
One quick thing about Katrina. I was watching the Channel 9 news the other day. People are dying down there because they can't get their medicine in New Orleans. They had a fellow on there who was talking to one woman who lost her mother, that she couldn't get her diabetes medicine.
Jesus.
I mean, they were talking about the simple problem of sick people not being able to get their, well, not so simple problem, not being able to get their medicine.
It's fixable. This is America, for Christ's sake. Of course, it's simple. It could be fixed.
It really disgusted you when you see, I'd written down all the names and everything. I got them out in the other room, but it just really ticked me off. I mean, like you said, we're worried about sending money to other countries for whatever reason, and we can't get these people their medicine.
Mm. It's awful. And the number of times that people have come down there, and elected officials that have visited New Orleans, is a shame and a sin against God.
Well, thank you again for
all
a
right.
good program.
You're welcome. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Anybody who believes that there was a target or a plot foiled by this administration is it's nonsense. It's utter, absolute nonsense. Baloney. You think that it's not a coincidence that we're hearing about this at the time where George W. Bush is facing scrutiny and questions about his authority to spy on us? How do you get him up off of you? Give him, throw him a bone. Throw him another fear. Look, I saved your behind. You need to get up off my back. That's what he's saying. Mm. These are amazing times. These are absolutely amazing times. Well, we're going to talk about Valentine's Day because it's getting closer. You just have a couple of days, for real. You just have a couple of days to decide what you're going to do for Valentine's Day. So let me make it easy for you. I'll make it as easy as possibly can be. Call 367-2743, 367-2743, and we'll play your Valentine's Day message right here on the wake-up call on Valentine's Day. How cool is that? A word out, a shout out, a message out, much love out to those who you love. And the world will know, right here on the radio, their own little, make them feel like a superstar. Make your mama feel like a superstar. Make your daddy feel like a superstar. With a I love you message right here on the wake-up call. That's right, 367-2743. 367-2743, that's right. Make your baby feel like she's a superstar. 367-2743, shout out, love out, message out, Valentine's Day special on the wake-up call. Give us a call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. And don't forget that the show is archived every day at whiterosesociety.org. That's right. whiterosesociety.org. You need to get up. You need to get to me. And don't forget, let me put this out there as well before I get to a caller or two or three here before the end of the hour. Don't forget. All right, I just want to let you know that in the next hour, we normally have Healthy Futures. Healthy Futures, we are going to be, they'll be back on next week. So we're going to have open lines for you next hour. Kevin, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Liz.
Good morning, Kevin.
How you doing? You know about those non-for-profit organizations? I think the government ought to control that.
They do.
No, I mean by to the point where it should be GS jobs. It should be government employees. Because it's nothing but a big welfare thing. And, you know, it's for the welfare of the people, in a sense, because I believe in a welfare state. And I know a guy named Steve who owns one, because when I was a kid... He owns thrift stores.
Okay.
He owns a thrift store on Natural Bridge, on New Hawes Ferry Road.
But that's not a not-for-profit.
Yes, they are non-for-profit. They're thrift stores. They're non-for-profit organizations.
Well, just because you're a thrift store doesn't make you automatically non-for-profit.
Well, he's a non-for-profit.
Okay.
And,
okay.
He lives a lavish lifestyle. He lives in Creve Coeur in a huge house.
Uh-huh.
And I just think that instead of giving a few of the, since it's a program that he got some monies from the government to start it also.
Well, that's a different, those are two different things. Anybody in the world can start up a nonprofit. You can go start one up tomorrow.
I understand, but you don't get money.
But then that's another issue is what I'm saying is,
did
he get his money from is the thing that we need to be discussing. How
I mean,
did he
if
get
I don't
money
need
for?
The government, I mean, you know, just to get away from taxes, yeah.
Okay, got to roll, Kevin.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. We're going to take a break, folks, do a little bit of news, and I'll be right back at you for your comments, calls, and questions. This is Liz Brown. Stay with us.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, brother.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
The latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. A setback for the U.S. even before the opening ceremonies for the 2006 Winter Olympic Games. ABC's Aaron Kaczerski has more from Torino, Italy.
It's the first hint of scandal here. 8 skiers, including 2 Americans, have been suspended for failed blood tests. Keegan Randall and Leif Zimmerman were found to have high levels of hemoglobin. It's a possible indicator of doping, but there has been nothing definitive. The suspensions last 5 days, and the U.S. ski team says the skiers should miss no events.
Also a member of the U.S. skeleton team, Zach Lund, has been banned from the games for taking a common hair restoration product that some say could be used to mask steroids. He's been arrested, and he'll soon be headed back to the U.S.
His British lawyer says he wants to avoid any delays that might cause further distress to his late wife's family and his own. And so Neil Entwistle has agreed to return to the U.S., charged with the murders of his American wife, Rachel, and their baby daughter, Lillian. The Entwistle's website, chock full of happy family photos, gives no hint of any problems. But the Middlesex, Massachusetts district attorney paints a different picture of a man driven by financial distress who planned a murder-suicide but in the end couldn't kill himself.
ABC's Linda Alban in London. It happened 3 years ago, so why are we just hearing about it now? President Bush says the feds prevented another 9/11-style attack then. The target was the U.S. Bank building in Los Angeles. Well, White House Homeland Security and Counterterrorism Assistant Fran Townsend says there's really nothing to the timing of the announcement.
We have a regular dialogue with the American people. We want them to understand that our enemies continue to plot against us and how they plot and what their methods are of attack that we're able to reveal to them.
L.A. Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa says he would have appreciated finding out, though, before everybody else did yesterday. Mike Brown's on Capitol Hill this morning, the former FEMA director, testifying to the Senate Homeland Security Committee about the government's slow response to Hurricane Katrina. Brown has said before that he is in part to blame. This is ABC News.
Top 3 things I want for Valentine's Day. Number 3, forget gold. I'm more into stainless steel. Refrigerators. Number 2, pedicure? No, thank you. I'll treat my feet with soft new carpets. And number 1, I want to enjoy them long before paying for them.
Right now at the Home Depot and Expo Design Center, get special deferred financing in kitchens, bath, flooring, decor, windows, and doors. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Offer valid through 215 in U.S. only. See store for details.
Harry, what are you doing in our living room shirtless?
Don't call me Harry. My name is Thor, Prince of the Night.
Thor?
Yes, my temptress. I have traveled far to find you this treasure.
What treasure?
A treasure as unique as you, my damsel.
A diamond right-hand ring for Valentine's Day?
Yes. Surrender to me.
Oh, Thor.
Anyone can be a romantic hero this Valentine's Day. Give her a diamond right-hand ring that shows you know who she really is. Go to adiamondisforever.com/valentine and find the perfect style for her.
He's a singer and an actor with more than a few teenage fans. Now, Nick Lachey has helped to create an online website for young people. It's called WhyFly, and Lachey says online safety expert Pari Aftab encouraged him to get involved.
Your name, your identity, is one of the more commonly used identities by predators to lure kids offline. And I had no idea not only about that, but about how big of a problem this was for kids.
That's what she told him. A new survey says one out of every five kids claims they've been propositioned online. Speaking of teens, two in Maryland say they've been forced into a life of crime. Here's ABC's Bill Greenwood.
It's happened four times since January 20th. Gunmen threatened teenagers with violence unless they took a robbery note into banks and came out with cash. And the tellers have always handed over the money. Police are convinced the kids are telling the truth, but they have no photos of the real bandits because they never go near the bank's surveillance cameras.
I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, a teenager is recovering after being struck by a car last night in a school parking lot. Police say a car was pulling away from Riverview Gardens High School after a basketball game when it hit an off-duty police officer working security and then struck the teen, believed to be a Riverview Gardens student. There was fighting reported in the parking lot at the time. The off-duty officer was not seriously hurt. The teen was taken to an area hospital and is expected to recover fully. A familiar face is the newest appointee to the St. Louis Board of Police Commissioners. Missouri Governor Matt Blunt appointed former KMOV-TV anchor Julius Hunter to the police board yesterday. Blunt explains one of the reasons he appointed Hunter to the position.
I'm convinced that Julius Hunter is the best man for the job and really will be somebody that can help bring the community and the police force together and build some bridges where there have been some chasms in the past.
Blunt also mentioned Hunter's involvement in the Backstoppers program and his passion for the St. Louis community as reasons for his appointment. Hunter's appointment is subject to state Senate confirmation. Finally this hour, there were nearly 370 fewer cancer deaths across the country in 2003 compared to 2002. Deborah Markinson of the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services says she only wishes that were true in Missouri. Markinson says since 1990, cancer deaths in Missouri are continuing to go up. She says that has a lot to do with the fact that there is a high smoking rate in Missouri. She credits the nationwide decrease to the fact that people are smoking less, as well as better detection and better care for cancer patients. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by the St. Louis Boat Show. Come down to the St. Louis Boat and Sports Show February 7th through 12th at the America Center. See what's new in boating for 2006. Details at stlouisboatshow.com. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by heatupstlouis.org. Eastbound 255 at Jefferson Barracks Bridge is road construction, left lane is closed. Westbound 44 from Barry to Big Bend, look for road construction, right lane closed. Route Z to eastbound 70 is closed through March due to construction work. Traffic detours at Interstate Drive, then to Wilmer, then to the South Service Road, then back to Winslow Parkway, then back on eastbound 70. Shodo Avenue is closed from Van Deventer all the way to 39th Street to rebuild the bridges and roadways. The eastbound exit from 64 to Shodo is closed permanently. And that's pretty much a look at traffic this hour. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by heatupstlouis.org. Help keep the needy warm this cold winter days.
area, religious congregations are encouraged to give generously with special contributions for Heat Up Super Bowl collection drive taking place this week. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Mostly cloudy today, high in the upper 30s. This evening, mostly cloudy, scattered flurries with a low in the mid-20s. Saturday, mostly cloudy, scattered flurries, high in the lower 30s. Saturday evening, mostly cloudy once again till early morning, then becoming partly cloudy, flurries, and a low around 15. Then on Sunday, partly sunny skies with a high in the mid-30s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 29 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 31, both under clouds. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can I discuss? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can I discuss?
It is time for us to use our power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you pick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can I
is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. Oh, my goodness. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up, get up, get to me. Car phone.
Hello, how are you, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
All righty. Yeah, you've made several comments about it, and all I can do is just sit back and laugh. One, at the people that are stupid enough to fall for it, and two, that the administration would be stupid enough to even utter it. But that's about this bit about this so-called thwarted terrorist attack out in L.A.
The administration that's bungled everything, couldn't find weapons of mass destruction, bungled everything, and now all of a sudden they stopped something bunk.
Well, you know, what I'm trying to, and I did some checking yesterday, and I didn't quite get exactly what I needed to find, but, you know, remember Richard Reed, the Converse Chuck Taylor shoe-wearing guy that was flying from, I don't remember where, Paris or London over.
American
over
citizen.
The
American citizen, uh-huh.
No, this guy's a British citizen.
Oh, Reed? Okay.
Yeah, Richard Reed was
okay.
A British citizen.
Okay.
And, you know, they made a bunch of hoopla about him. But it's funny that who caught him? The passengers on the plane.
Who caught Saddam Hussein?
Right. The people in the country.
you know, Osama bin Laden, how we doing on that?
Right. But, you know, it's amazing that something as big as that, supposedly thwarting this whole bit about flying a plane into the library tower in L.A.
Some people are saying that these so-called church burnings and stuff are a distraction as well by this government.
You know it.
By this government.
You know it. You know, it's to the point, and, you know, I'm having this conversation with you, not for the people that look like us. Because we already know that this is some humbug, some nonsense. But the people that don't look like us, that are convinced that the guy that's running, let me retract that, that is in the White House Oval Office right now, is really running some game on them.
All right.
I mean, it's real easy to see, guys.
Thanks.
If they would not come out with something as big as that until right after our inspector straight up gives the Attorney General a tongue-lashing, not under oath, though.
Thanks for
that. You know, it's pretty obvious they're running some game.
Thanks for your call.
All right.
All right, now, 454-0400 is my phone number. Healthy Futures will be joining us at its regular scheduled time next week. So I'm open here for your calls and your comments. Earl.
Hey, how you doing, Gliss?
I'm outstanding.
By chance, have you read the story about these retired black police officers in Atlanta? That they're refusing to pay retirement to. I think, did you by chance see that story?
No, I did not.
I wish you could check into this story. It's about 200 of them all together, and they're refusing to pay them because they owe them back pay for like 20-some years, and it's totaling like, I think, up to the millions that they owe these gentlemen. I mean, once.
Okay, who's the they that we're talking about that is refusing?
The state of Atlanta.
The
state of Georgia, I guess.
The state of Georgia, and the reason why these men are not being paid is why?
Because at the time when they were police officers, black police officers weren't required to get pensions at that time.
I mean,
It's shocking. I mean, I was totally shocked that they weren't eligible to receive
Eligible, okay, to receive pensions.
Right.
Because of the color of their skin.
Exactly.
Okay.
Okay, now these guys are still living, 179, 181. But I wish you could check it.
I certainly will.
Okay, thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
454. Oh, I certainly will. 454-6609 is my fax. All this smack talk about what Iran shouldn't do, couldn't do, and supposed to do with regard to nuclear weapons. We're building an H-bomb. We have an H-bomb on the drawing table with a very excited scientist behind it. We are talking about shipping nuclear waste and reprocessing it, getting nuclear waste from all over the world, reprocessing it so that it can be used, and that makes nuclear weapons. Talking about building nuclear facilities all across this country, dotting the golden plains and the purple skies majesty with nuclear weapons facility, nuclear power facilities. Imagine that Mr. Burns is all over the United States. And we're telling Iran, no, you can't have none. Now Iran's looking at the United States and you know what? Huh? I can't do what? You got them, why can't I have them? In the meantime, France has secretly modified its nuclear arsenal to increase the strike range and accuracy of its weapons. And this move comes weeks after the president of France, Chirac, warned that states that threatened France could face the ultimate warning of a nuclear retaliation. So, is France going to be brought to the UN Security Council? for secretly altering its weaponry? Are we supposed to be hooping and hollering about that? You know what? Everybody's loading up. Everybody's strapping. Everybody's strapping because there's supposed to be a gunfight. And the person that has the most guns and the most weapons is saying to another person who also knows that a fight's getting ready to start, you can't pack. You can't strap up. Huh? Huh? No, you can't pack. Things are ratcheting up. France is now packing harder. Packing harder. Oh. And Iran's not supposed to have none. Iran is not supposed to have none. These are amazing, scary times. That doesn't scare you? Okay, let me tell you another story. And we're going to be talking about this next week. I'm so excited. Spy chips. We're going to be talking about spy chips next week. Going to curl your hair. Going to curl your hair. Wonderful book, Spy Chips. It was a great gift to me. Yeah, well, Howard, it won't curl your hair, but it will curl some folks' hair out there. Cincinnati, it's no coincidence, is it, that this is taking place in Cincinnati. Cincinnati Video Surveillance Company. It's called CityWatcher.com. Now requires its employees to use Verichip human implantable microchips to enter a secure data system. We're going to be talking about this next week, y'all. We're going to be talking about this next week. The Verichip is a glass-encapsulated RFID tag that is injected into the flesh of the tricep area of the arm to uniquely number and identify individuals. The tag can be read through your clothes by radio waves a few inches away. Ain't that some stuff? Ain't that some stuff? According to one witness, a local doctor has already implanted two of City Watcher's employees with the Verichip's devices. The doctor said out his mouth, "I will eventually receive an implant too." The company hopes that the Verichip will beef up its proximity or prox security system that controls access to the room where the video footage is stored. Now, they're using these chips for security. But last month, a security researcher demonstrated how Verichips can be skimmed and cloned by a hacker who could theoretically duplicate an individual's Verichips implants to access a secure area. It can be hacked. So here's the thing, and this is my concern about a number of things, but and like flu shots and stuff. You don't know what they're putting in you when they put it in you. You don't know. You don't know what all is on that chip. You don't know what is on the chip. What it says. And here's how they are easing themselves into your life. They're going to start with the whole security piece. It's almost like George W. Bush and this administration has created a marketing, a wonderful marketing tool. Fear. You can get the American people to do a whole lot of things when they're scared. You can get a whole lot of people to do a lot of things when they're scared. Things they wouldn't agree to at any other time. And that thought, that the evidence of that, the effectiveness of that, has not been lost on businesses out there. Why can't I cash in on the fear factor? I can scare people into accepting microchips. I can do that. I can do that. These are scary times. These are scary times. What you going to do about it? City Watcher does not, reportedly does not require its employees to take an implant in order to keep their jobs. But it still is unsettling. It's wrong to link a person's paycheck with getting an implant. Once people voluntarily get chipped to perform their job duties, it won't be long before pressure is on those who refuse. They even have a phrase for it, getting chipped. Getting chipped. How do you feel as a Christian out there? All you Christians out there? There's a theological thing in there that should cause you to reject being uniquely numbered. According to there's a book, an article, Why Christians Should Resist RFIDs and Electronic Surveillance. Because this is like ushering in a world that was predicted in Revelations. According to Revelations, at some point in the future, people will not be able to buy or sell unless they are numbered and bear a mark on their hand or their foreheads. Huh. I think there should be some theological resistance to being uniquely numbered like this. Orlando, good morning.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm outstanding.
Good. Just listening to your comments there. And when you went into the spiritual aspect of that chip, that's something I'm very familiar with. And concerning the Bible and spiritual things, there are some people who don't like to, you know, some people say that my beliefs are very personal to me and I don't like to discuss them and things like that. But the things that are written in the book that you're speaking about, they're actually there, okay? Concerning controlling people, just like you just said, this gentleman said he's going to voluntarily take this thing. We have the mind and the will to do what we would like to do. And what these people are doing is allowing situations, just like the terror, allowing situations to be presented in this world so that it will appear that they're not doing it. We're going to, that we will voluntarily volunteer for these things.
And the other question is that, okay, they're nasty to get them in, but also you can't get them out. I mean, getting them out is, and I quote, getting the verichips out of your body is a, and I quote, bloody mess.
Well, it's something that, you know, the whole fear thing. And if you will allow me, I've read this scripture before. I'd like to read a scripture, if that's okay.
How long is it?
It's short.
All right.
It's short. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Verse 13 says, "And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good?" Verse 14 says, "But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. okay? It says, afraid of their terror. It would have to take me more time, but I could go into detail concerning this war on terror, this fear. The Bible says perfect love casts out fear. All being done by fear.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Orlando.
Bye-bye.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Ah, it's Valentine's Day. It's Valentine's Day. What are you going to do for Valentine's Day? Well, for Valentine's Day, this is what you're going to do. You're going to do a wake-up call shout-out on the wake-up call. That's what you're going to do. Show the world how much you love your baby. Show your baby how much you care. Show them that you think they're a superstar and they need to be on the radio. Call 367-2743. That's 367-2743. Wake up call, shout out, I love you on Valentine's Day. We have a couple more days. You need to handle your business. Make the call. 367-2743. That's 367-2743. Do it. Your loved ones will love you to death for it because you made them a radio superstar. So give them a call. Give us a call at 367-2743, and let's get this done for Valentine's Day. Oh, my goodness. My goodness gracious. 454-0400 is my phone number. We're going to be talking about spy chips next week. There's so much more. There is so much more to this. And you need to heads up. Heads up. I want to take a seismic shift here in issues here, but before I do that, I need to take a break. My number here is 454-0400, 454-0400, 1-877-920-WGNU. We're going to take a break. Don't forget that we are archived every single day at WhiteRoseSociety.org. That's WhiteRoseSociety.org. We are also we are streamed every day at WGNU.net. Rodney, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Liz. I just want to let everybody know there's about 50, 60 protesters out in front of City Hall attending the Board of Aldermen meeting this morning.
Excellent.
It's a very serious topic that they're going to discuss down there this morning. I think everybody down in St. Louis ought to be at least making their feelings known about what's taking place down there.
And this is the civilian oversight bill that is supposed to be passed today. Absolutely.
That's correct.
Absolutely.
Liz, what's really ironic is right across the street is the Carnahan Courthouse.
Mm.
And I bet you we can walk in there and pick out 20 people that have problems with the police department and how they were treated by the police
department. Absolutely.
You have a good day, sister. Peace.
Take care of yourself, Rodney. Thank you so much. We're going to take a break, folks. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. You need to get up. You need to get to me.
That's a pale moon that excites me. That thrills and delights me. Oh, no. Yes. Just an earnest you.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920 WGNU. This is the station that discusses the issues that matter most to you. And if you have a problem with personal work or family relationships, it really matters to me. So call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA. Tune in to Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Weekday afternoons from 2 to 4. Then go do the right thing.
Are those wedding bells I'm hearing? You know what that means. No, not Valentine's Day. It's the St. Clair Bridal Fest Spring Review at St. Clair Square, February 18th and 19th. Whether you're planning an entire wedding or just looking for ideas for your wedding planner, the St. Clair Bridal Fest Spring Review is the place to be. Bridal Fest will have vendors and exhibitors from all areas of the bridal and party industry. See the latest fashions while you explore a variety of displays that are sure to inspire. Take a break in the center court and enjoy the music from Night Magic Entertainment.
Don't forget to stop by the Bridal Registry, sign up for the mailing list, and pick up your Bridal Fest bingo card. Fill in the spaces and you could win one of thousands of dollars in prizes to be given away all weekend long. That's the St. Clair Bridal Fest, February 18th and 19th, hosted by St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. Sponsored by Patty Cakes, Night Magic Entertainment, and Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Get more details at sbcshows.com. This is a Specialized Promotional Concepts production.
Join the Power Hour, Let's Get Busy, hosted by Zaki Baruti at our new hour at 9 p.m. every Thursday night for insightful information and intelligent discussion of the issues of the day. Tune in to the Power Hour, Let's Get Busy. Remember, knowledge is power.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. Dimitri, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. I like the phrase that you use occasionally. Can I talk about it?
Sure.
The phrase you use is, if you sleep with dogs, you wake up with fleas.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. And I'd like to pass along one of my favorite phrases, which is along the same vein. So I just want to quote it, may I?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. If they're in politics, they're whores anyway. It doesn't make any difference who they sleep with. And the other thing I wanted to talk to you about is the phrase that you used about kiss my grits.
Mm-hmm.
I've looked up Grey's Anatomy. It's a doctor's Bible on the anatomy and every section of the human body. And nowhere in Grey's Anatomy do they have a part of the anatomy labeled as grits.
Mm-hmm.
I'm confused.
No, you're not. No, you're not. You're not confused at all.
I love the phrase.
All right.
And thank you for your program. It's
all right.
Beautiful.
All right. Thank you, Dimitri. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. A little harsh. A little harsh. Because there's some good folks out there. There's some really good folks out there that are trying to do right. Unfortunately, when we talk about Washington, D.C., it's just a mess. It is a mess in Washington, D.C. Oh, it's just a mess. 454-0400. That is my phone number, 454-6609 is my fax. There are some that are making a connection out here. There's an article by Greg Zyminski. He's been on our show before. He wrote an article saying, don't believe for a second the 9 Alabama church fires, the scurrilous Muhammad cartoons, and the retaliatory Holocaust depictions are random acts of hatred and violence. Put in the mix Thursday's nerve agent scare, clearing out a U.S. Senate office building, and what's happening worldwide is good old-fashioned psychops fear and hate campaign, geared at raising the public's tension thermometer to a boiling point and to prepare the West for a nuclear war against Iran and Islam. You know, think about it for a second. Think about all these triggers that are being pushed out here. churches, black and white churches, being set on fire. Nobody knows who. Black and white churches, okay? Christian churches. You have a country of Denmark that inexplicably decided to print these cartoons, knowing full well what was going to happen. You don't have to be, you don't even have to know how to spell Muhammad in order to predict what was going to happen when a picture of the prophet was displayed like that or put out there like that. You don't have, you know what's going to happen. Why did it happen? So you raise the fear level. You keep the enemy in front of the uneducated, intolerant American. Keep the fear in front of them. Those Muslims are going there. They will do anything. They will kill. They will do anything. You start beating the drum for fear. Beating the drum for fear. Put Christian institutions at risk in America, raising the fear level. Then you clear out the Senate office building, scaring the senators into, we're supposed to be able to spy on you. If you let us spy on you, this wouldn't happen. 6-9 churches have blown down. Some are saying that, 9 is one of the Illuminati's secret code numbers. 9 fires. The author is making the argument that this is the Illuminati's evil worldwide hate campaign to enrage the world into now a full. We gotta bomb somebody. We pumped up. You can't tell me no now. Come on. I'm ready to kill somebody. You can't get the horse back in the barn now. Check it out. Couple the fact that all 9 fires linked now by authorities to the same perpetrator all occurred 25 miles south of Birmingham, which is also happened to be right near the 33rd longitudinal parallel. The 33rd, of course, being the, if you're into the Illuminati piece, the most important number in the Illuminati scheme of things. Huh. A cult analyst said, I downloaded a map, circled all of the cities where the church burnings occurred, and all of them are within 2 miles of the 33rd parallel. The 9 churches were mixed, both black and white. Huh. Huh. Whether you're into the Illuminati component of it or not, you got to ask yourself the question, how on earth could these things happen, and who do they benefit? Who do they benefit? Who does this fire benefit? Who does it benefit? It's raising the terror alert. It's raising the fear factor. It's getting you all soft so that you are willing to sacrifice your rights on the altar of law and order. That's what this is about. That's what this is about. You're on the wake-up call.
Yeah, enjoying your show.
Thank you.
A lot of things I disagree with you a lot about, but a lot of things I agree with you about, but I think you have a decent show. I was going to say, I just saw a great documentary the other night called Why We Fight.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've heard of it.
I have heard of it.
Okay, but you talk about who does it benefit.
Mm-hmm.
And what I like about that documentary is it points out that we really have a one-party system. Until we wake up to that fact, we're in deep trouble. Because both parties are deeply entangled in political, corporate, and Defense Department interests, and they could care less about us. What I mean about that is both parties want to maintain their political power, each individual, obviously. They want to perpetuate the corporate interests, which would be the military-industrial complex. The military-industrial complex I refer to, like companies like Boeing. The amount of arms that our country sells overseas is staggering. And if you could eliminate that, how would these people even be a threat?
There you go. All right now.
And I think that both parties, when they talk about, because Clinton is just as guilty, and the Democrats are just as guilty as the Republicans.
Guilty of?
Taking the interest. Well, for example, Lyndon B. Johnson was the main person behind the Vietnam War.
I'm not guilty of what?
Of perpetuating this whole thing and not putting a stop to it.
Which thing are we talking about?
I'm talking about the way that our military goes all overseas and interferes in everybody else's business.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, I'm clear on what it is you're referring to now. Insofar as the presidency is concerned, insofar as what they protect and what they don't protect, the military industrial complex absolutely is at the top of the list of protections by all of them.
And you know what sells it? Is jobs.
It used to.
I think it still sells it.
Well, no, not with the jobs going overseas the way that they are. It sells it for some job. Absolutely, Kit Bond comes back every year to bring a whole bunch of new planes to Boeing. You're absolutely right, but not entirely right, because there's too many jobs and things that are going overseas. The promise of jobs used to be a big seller. The reality of jobs nowadays, not so good.
I haven't checked the exact facts on this, but in that movie they were saying, which I just checked out the other night, there was so much information, and I'd like to digest it and do my research on it, but they're saying, like, on say for example, a plane, when a plane is made by a certain company, there's so many parts to it that they're made in, you know, one plane there had 48 different states that was making a part.
And I got a roll, but thanks, Dan. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. George on a car phone.
Hey, good morning, Liz.
Good morning, George.
I had lunch with a fellow yesterday, and I hadn't seen him in about 12 years. And I remember the last time I was in his office, he had Rush Limbaugh playing. Well, he's still a Rush Limbaugh fan. And, of course, all this problem, the whole problem with our country, don't you know, Liz, is it's the Democrats versus the Republicans, and everything can be explained by that. And and I try to get him to see the bigger picture here about what's going on. It's divide and conquer.
Mm.
That's really what I think it is. It's divide and conquer. If they can keep us into two camps like this, they can have their way with us, and there's not much difference. And, you know, we got crooks in both parties. Did you happen to hear whose Senate office was endangered last night?
Whose was it?
I don't know.
Oh, no. No.
I was just curious, because the first time this happened with the anthrax,
right.
You remember who that was? Leahy's office.
That's right. And he's been straight ever since.
Yeah.
He's been scared straight. They didn't have to send it. They didn't have to put him in an orange jumpsuit. He was scared straight after that.
Exactly. I think that was done. That was done, no doubt, for a purpose. It was to bring those guys into line. So there's no questioning. But for those of your listeners out there that are getting their news off television, off the not your program, but the standard radio stations and out of the local newspaper. If that's where you're getting your news, you really don't know what's going on. I would encourage you to get on the Internet while you still can, because there's going to be a move on to eliminate that. We're not going to have that.
And I got a roll, George.
That pleasure.
Got
okay,
a roll. Thanks,
you,
George. We're going to take a break. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. Stay with me.
On the oceans and upon our seas, fish full of mercury. Oh, oh, mercy, mercy me. Our things ain't what they used to be. Radiation underground and in the sky, animals and birds who live nearby are not.
Oh,
They're at their best. They are the first in and the last to leave. The American Red Cross is responding to the devastation of Hurricane Katrina with food, shelter, and water. They bring hope, too. But you know how the American Red Cross will respond. How will you? Help victims of Hurricane Katrina and thousands of other disasters across the country each year. Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org today. Brought to you by the American Red Cross, the Ad Council, and this station.
Pair of thunder thighs. Big ones, too. That mom, who's been swimming a lot with her kids, must have lost them.
Whoa. I heard about this happening once up at Laguna.
Small step number 54. Play with your kids. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to get healthy. Learn more at www.smallstep.gov.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Now, Mrs. Johnson, before we close on your mortgage loan, I want to make sure you remember Mike.
Hi. You can trust me. I'm African-American, just like you.
So, here's the low monthly payments and interest rates we promised, and here's where they triple.
The rest of this stuff is just here to make sure that we get your house when you can't pay us back.
What a lovely house.
Predatory lenders are never this easy to spot. Call us at 866-222-FAIR and protect yourself with the facts. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Fair Housing Alliance and the Ad Council.
Call Global News Update. Dateline Washington. It looks like the Patriot Act is on its way to be extended. A conference between the White House and Senate leaders has led to revisions that are all but guaranteed to make it through this Senate and probably the House next as well. Several key parts of the act expired last year but were given a temporary extension. This latest version restricts the government access to library records. A form of secret subpoena called a national security letter can no longer be used to check on what people have read, but if libraries have internet provider service, those letters could still be used to look at their computer records. Government agents will not have to demonstrate there's a connection to a terrorist before they get a secret subpoena. Instead, a FISA judge would only have to believe there are reasonable grounds relevant to begin an investigation. And Dateline Washington. A report in the Christian Science Monitor says the government is working on a new computer system that'll be able to collect unthinkable amounts of information and compare them to government information to look for patterns of terrorist activity. This system is to be known as ADVISE, which is short for Analysis, Dissemination, Visualization, Insight, and Semantic Enhancement. It'll belong to the Department of Homeland Security and has already received $50 million in funding for this year. This system will be so broad it'll snoop on everything from news stories to emails to financial records and law enforcement files. It'll look for keywords or phrases and even plot patterns to examine motives and intentions. This program is so big and so secretive that few in Washington have any working knowledge of it, but without some sort of oversight, critics say such a program of data mining could creep over into an untold number of privacy problems. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
Advanced and highly mobile surface-to-air weapon systems utilized by the U.S. Army. It goes by the name of Staff Sergeant Patrick Dolman, Crew Chief of the Avenger Air Defense System, and an Army of One.
For more information, call Sergeant First Class Mural at 314-487-7771, paid for by the U.S. Army. GoArmy.com.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Where else, where else, where else are you going to, get your washers, your dryers, your refrigerators, your stoves, your CD players, your DVD players, your VCR-DVD combos? Right here in your neighborhood. 3425 Union, that's right, 3425 Union. You have an apartment building that you need some refrigerators and some stoves in? Call Jerome Williams. He can hook you up. He can hook you up and the best customer service in town. Come on, you got some stuff to buy? You have a refrigerator to replace? You have a washer or dryer that you know you need to upgrade? get on over to Sears at 3425 Union. Black-owned, black-operated Sears. Get your shop on.
Hey, this is Andre Walker on WGNU 920 AM. Catch my show, Money Matters, every Friday at noon.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Fat man in front of me. He's calling black people trash. And he's the only trash here I see. And I'm thinking this man wears a white hood in the night when his children should sleep. But they'll slip through their windows and they'll see him. And they'll think that white hood's all they need.
Oh, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My goodness gracious, we have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up, get to me. Good morning. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Good morning.
Yes.
Just wanted to call and let you know that I followed your advice.
What's
we
that?
Went to Sears on Union.
Oh, okay.
And I have never dealt with an individual in business that is more agreeable and easy to get along with, and he does exactly what you says. He makes sure you're happy.
That's wonderful.
I figured I'd call you and let you know.
Did you tell him that you heard about it on the show?
Yeah, we did.
Very good. Very good. And I knew that would happen, and I'm glad that it did happen.
It did.
All right, now, thank you so much for that.
Thank
you. Jerome Williams would be very happy to hear that.
Okay.
Take care. 4540, that's why you should shop at Sears. Every customer is a happy customer. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up, get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Hi, Liz.
Good morning.
Good morning. I was listening to your program regarding nonprofits.
Uh-huh.
And some of us have had contact with nonprofits. I think we need to examine whether or not they are self-serving to just a particular group or not, or whether they're serving the needs of all individuals,
mm-hmm.
and if they're focusing on their mission.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you're absolutely right. That I feel, I don't know about other people, that the government is steering people into certain types of health care,
mm-hmm.
and certain types of companies.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a lot that the IRS could pick up if they just tap the public, which they don't do. They have a special group of people. And even when people have contacted them, they just more or less drop the ball or more or less ignore what's going on. And if you don't tap the public, how would you know whether or not the companies are making interest, not reporting it, et cetera, et cetera? You would never know. But ignoring the public and not connecting the dots, I don't know how they have gotten away with it as long as they have.
All right. And it's, well, and they're getting away with it now because there aren't enough people out there that aren't hollering in the streets and demanding changes. We have some elections that are coming up real soon here. We need to throw the bums out. We need to throw the bums out.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you.
454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Ms. Brown,
yes.
Bush claimed he only had his picture taken with Aberhoff.
Yes.
According to today's Wall Street Journal, right on the front page, he had met with Bush a dozen times.
Absolutely.
And was invited to Bush's ranch, but he had to decline. Now, the last thing I'd seen about it, he was on the news saying, oh, I might have met him. You know, they rush people in and you get your picture taken with them.
He's a liar.
You can tell when that little rat's lying. I just look at his eyes.
Thanks for your call.
Okay.
454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning. I think that the reason why they are burning the churches in Alabama is to take the land, to grab the land, and to put fear in the people. But I hope that they will do what they did before, keep their land and rebuild. And I hope that we will get there if they have to send out letters to other churches and other communities that we would get behind them and see that they keep their land. This is a land grab through fear, intimidation, and destruction. And you have a wonderful show. I love you.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Listen, folks, don't forget, Valentine's Day is coming up. Valentine's Day, this is my love. This is it. Come on, this is the weekend. You can get it together. Give us a call because we're not going to be able to take any more calls after Monday of next week. So you need to get your call in to 367-2743. That's 367-2743. So we can do you a nice little Valentine's Day message for someone you love, someone you care about. Make them a radio star. Make them a superstar. Put a message out to your baby about how much you love him, how much you love her. How much you love your mama, how much you love your daddy, how much you love your babies, how much you love your friends. Valentine's special right here on the Wake Up Call. We will record your spot for you. We will put it on for you, and we will have it played on Valentine's Day during the Wake Up Call. Doesn't get any better than that. So tell you what, 367-2743, 367-2743, 367-2743. Make it special this year. You can do it. 454-0400 is the phone number. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. We have so much to talk about, but, it's the end of a week. Next week, we will be back with Healthy Futures at this time, and we'll be back with a wake-up call because we care packages for you next week as well. We have a whole bunch of good things coming up for you next week. You want to find out about them? Or if you want to go back over what we have done this week, you can do that. Just get to my website at lizbrown.com. You know, check out the Kona Stowe. Check out the week this week. Check out last week. Check out the archives of the weeks before. All the wonderful guests and amazing information we've had to put out for you. Do that on the weekend. Lizbrown.com. That's LIZZBrown.com. That ought to hold you over until Monday. So until then, here's what I want you to do. I want you to stay strong.
News for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember? I will never say that chocolate is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. Don't blame him. That's what former FEMA Chief Michael Brown is telling the Senate Homeland Security Committee. He's being questioned today about the slow response to Hurricane Katrina. Brown says he tried to reform the agency before the disaster. In fact, he even gave the Homeland Security Secretary a list of suggestions.